This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do, Stan?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
You need to start talking, I believe. We are. An illustrious beginning. An illustrious beginning to PFW in Progress. By the way, I don't think your mic's on either.
PFW in Progress here.
Also known as the Monkey Show.
Gary,
three monkeys in the house.
Gary is too busy playing Tecmo Bowl. He doesn't have anything ready to go.
Down early to play Tecmo Bowl.
And I won 21-3.
I can't believe you had neither your headphones or your microphone ready.
Well, the headphones weren't working. Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, you might not believe this, but Fred is here this week.
Yeah, usually it's Fred who loses control of the show in the first 30 seconds.
Well, I was still, you know,
gloating over your victory?
My victory in Tecmo Bowl.
And
nobody
that's no
can
lie, what Gary
money.
Just said, by the way. He came down early just so he could play a quick game of Tecmo Bowl before the show.
It's impressive.
But I was doing draft stuff before that.
Loser. What is this? You got new headphones?
I got the old headphones.
Ah, Fred, screw you.
A bunch of crap, I'll tell you that right now.
But more importantly, get to that email.
Hang on a second. I'm not even ready. Are we on the air?
We're on the air.
All right.
Your embarrassing opening is on iTunes later today.
Somebody who goes by the name of Some Guy wants to buy us lunch. He said, there's three reasons why I should buy you guys lunch and become your first fan of the week. I just started listening to you guys in the last month or so, and I must atone for my sins. It should be law that everyone who makes fun of Smelger should get free pizza.
Nice.
I can afford it. That was number three. I usually download your shows and listen to them afterwards, but this time I'm going to try to stream it. I need your address to give to Papa Gino's.
Gary, what's the information?
Gary, can you effort that off the air and make sure that some guy gets us some food from Papa Gino's?
And his next email is, oh, yeah, my name's Matt. I'm from Dover, New Hampshire. Your web show rocks. Tom is the man. I could listen to him break down draft prospects all day. Paul, Fred is fragile. Please don't break him.
I am definitely, just to let everybody know, right at the beginning of the show, Fred's not here, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Tom, you want an Italian with everything, right?
Yeah,
I'm taking
I want a
turkey
over, sub.
I'm taking over a new path here on Fred. It's going to be a kindly, gentler Paul on Fred because I'm starting to get a lot of emails now that are saying that I'm a little too hard on Fred.
And he could have a heart attack.
Sometimes people don't know, I based on the tone of my voice, that it's not necessarily meant to be completely serious. So I'm going to try to be a little bit
when you're
kinder
grading
and gentler.
On people.
Yes, my grading radio personality. Against
that's
Fred.
Grating, not great.
Grating. No, I said grating.
No, I know.
So I'm really going to try to work on that, okay? And I agree with, especially since he only needed one reason, by the way, right off the go. He's going to buy us lunch. That's reason enough to make him fan of the week.
Right. But we can't praise him until the food actually
gets
here.
Is that Matt?
You.
Right. That's Matt.
Matt in Dover, New Hampshire?
Mm-hmm. Matt, the praise is coming as soon as that pizza
arrives.
Gary will
take care of that. We'll have some boneless buffs and
that's
pizza
good. And before
and
we get to the Patriots stuff, I think I was, I was pretty good when someone said in and asked PFW about arena football, and I told them to get the hell out of here, that we don't care about arena football. But now that you're sending more than one email giving us arena football stuff on the air, about Rohan Davey and things like that.
He's fallen to the Arena League now?
No. Someone from Iowa is sending us spam or crap about their team. Nobody gives a darn about your stupid arena football team. We don't care that Rohan Davey plays for them. We don't care about you, nor do we care about Rohan Davey. So stop sending us these emails. Because
Rohan Davey is even worse.
I don't want to go through them.
Only send food.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there was
quite a first 3 minutes for you.
There's three emails in here about the Iowa Arena football team, and it's not.
Did somebody really put you on a list or something?
No, yeah, it's not a person talking about them. Okay. It's information about their team.
Is it the Barnstormers?
I don't know what it is. I deleted them all.
Is that Grand Rapids?
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, where's Grand Rapids?
Michigan?
Oh, yeah.
If we want to talk about arena football, we'll talk about the Bills around here.
Or the Cowboys.
Yeah, because they have their own team. That's where they're getting
exactly.
all the talent. So, Patriots, what's going on? Kelly Washington.
Bam Childress.
Jackson. When we do this once a week, I forget what we talked about before.
We talked about the receivers last week, Stallworth and Washington.
So then just a couple of the minor signings there with Eddie Jackson, who apparently won't be ready until October.
He'll be with Chad Jackson.
Well, he tore his ACL Christmas Day.
Right. And so what does that tell you?
He's got a one-month head start on Chad Jackson.
That's a guy they like long-term? What is that?
Just a guy.
But why bring in just a guy if he's...
Because you were told he's got a chance. You sign him for nothing. He might be a special teamer. Might be a guy to help you mid-season instead of Ray Mickens. Just a guy.
I do agree with Tom, though. It is a little bit odd.
I'm sure they got a good recommendation from Nick Saban.
But, okay. Did you need to sign him now?
Maybe you think he's decent. Someone else would. I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
They love to invest in these low-level guys that they think can be something.
I understand.
Billy Yates and Brandon Gorin and all these guys.
Let me just state this. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing a guy in, and I'm sure that Nick Saban did give a recommendation for him. That's fine. I have no problem with that. That's as good a reason to sign a guy as any. My guess would be that they wanted to get him here so he could, even though he can't play for a while, he can get immersed in the system and learn the terminology and not be a new guy. You know, it's certainly, it's a low money, very minor signing.
Low risk, low anything.
Just a little bit different in signing a guy who probably isn't going to be able to help you in 2007, I would think.
Sure.
So nothing.
I just don't think there's a lot to talk about with Eddie Jackson.
Oh, God, no.
That's
God
why
no.
I said sure.
God, no.
Yeah.
But there are some interesting, the Edgerton Hartwell doesn't seem to go away. Every day seems
well,
like
apparently
there's
reports they've talked with him and
talked, and he's willing and even wants a low money type deal, 1 year prove it kind of contract. So I got to tell you, I'd be more than happy to see him thrown into a rotation at inside linebacker with no real risk, no real. I mean, as long as you're not giving him money, I'd be very excited to see him.
And if he
now
busts,
it's one of those.
Busts.
I was going to say it could be one of those guys. I watched the first practice in training camp and go, oh, he just doesn't have
it
anymore.
Play, he can't
right.
play. So why? You cut him.
Right.
But you know what? If he can't play, I mean, let's put can't play in perspective. If he can't play to his level, he's probably still better than any of the
right.
backups they have now.
And better than Monty Beisel and Chad
well,
Brown and those guys
yeah.
we've seen
I
run through here.
I think can't play meaning that his injuries have cost him too
right.
much where he's not effective on the field anymore. And that you won't really know that until you get him out there in training camp. But I'm with you. This guy is one of the better run-stuffing linebackers in the league. He's big, he's strong, he's physical. I was in the locker room after he hurt his
Achilles
in, yes. in Atlanta.
Yep.
And, I mean, he was in bad shape. But, I mean, he's a big dude.
Right.
And he could really plug that middle
and
up.
And I was going to say, that's the other thing. Maybe he now becomes a Ted Johnson one- or two-down linebacker because he can't really move anymore. But you plug him in there for certain rundowns, certain short-yarded situations and say, bang heads with the guy in front of you.
Yeah.
And I read in the Herald that, which continues, the way you put it, it just won't go away. And,
yeah, it's just out.
And the Herald had a source saying that there was still some interest there. And I thought the interesting part that makes the most sense to me is that he's looking for one of those reestablish himself one-year
mm-hmm.
deals.
Right.
And the way the Herald termed it, I think it was Albert Breer that wrote it.
We know the Patriots have been giving those out this offseason.
I think that's perfect for the Patriots.
I do, too.
That way, if like Tom said, if you bring him in and the guy just doesn't have it anymore, the injuries took a toll, it's 1 year.
See, I'd be shocked if he came in and couldn't make it. Unless they draft Patrick Willis in there, then you got a number.
Well,
but
I just think he can't have gone that far, though.
But you get him
but
in,
even like
you
I
get
said,
him in training camp and you realize that he can still play?
Right,
you say, hey, let's
I
sit
just,
down and get something done right now.
I'd be surprised if he couldn't make this team.
But let me ask you, Are you concerned at all with the injuries? Because it doesn't seem a lot of teams are kind of interested in him. And he's a guy that I think, at least, if he's 80, 90% of what he was before, could come in and help a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And it kind of seems like no one's really into bringing
him
in.
Well, that's why you've got to wonder about what the medical reports are saying, too.
But, again, with the trends in the league, and you got to have the linebackers that can get deep and you know, a lot of teams, it's sort of like fullback. How many teams are really looking for just a run-stuffing linebacker that can play one or two downs?
Is that all he is?
I'm saying downside. If the injuries have cut his ability to run and he's now just a run stuffer, they're not all that popular.
You know who he is, Paul? He's Jeremiah Trotter.
Oh, I know what I mean. I think that's a very good comparison.
One of those guys who loves mixing it up
right.
with the guards.
He's not going to play special teams. He's not, you know, the
could eat himself out of the league depending on how it goes. Could end up being LeVon Kirkland.
Mm-hmm. I don't see the downside.
Up to close to 300.
Yeah.
See, Damian Woody get up to close to 4.
Damian Woody is a troubling.
He's now lost 31 though at the Duke. He went back to the Duke.
I hope he does. First of all, I think you know specifically. Tom wasn't here. He's one of the better guys. He's just a really, really, really nice guy, and I don't say that about a lot of different people. But
he's just Andy Hart with a slow metabolism.
You don't want to see something because he is getting huge. And that's not safe.
I gave him a ride with my little Nissan Sentra. And I don't know if you know, but a Sentra doesn't have a lot of room. And he was like in the driver's seat. And I'm like trying to shift.
How did that come about?
I was in the year I was in PR. And I don't know. I had to give him a ride from like the practice field to the stadium or something. And I was like, wow, this car really wasn't built for Damian Woody.
I gave Cedric Maxwell a ride in an Altima. Not good.
I agree with you about the Hartwell thing. I think there's no risk involved if you sign him. Like we said, if you can't play, you know, we just cut him during training camp, and you're just right back where you started. But they still need a young guy. I mean, we all have agreement on that they need to bring in a younger guy. Hartwell is a one-year stopgap type guy.
But I think beyond just needing a young guy, they need somebody to rotate
some
depth there.
Yes.
And I think Hartwell could fill that as the guy squeezed into play if somebody gets hurt or if it's in a regular rotation early, whatever.
And, well, we'll be looking. One thing we should mention, we got a couple of emails asking us about the draft stuff. We'll be putting that stuff up starting this week. We had to watch through the films and the tapes of all the players so Andy could have his ridiculous assessments.
Sorry, I don't just fall in love with
him. Now I could throw mine in on a very limited basis.
Paul's going to stick to schools that start with A.
Alabama,
Paul
Auburn,
Arkansas.
If you guys are interested in any of the early in the alphabet schools, I'm your guy.
Paul, I'm impressed with your knowledge of the tape because the first guy you were watching, Alabama linebacker Juwan Simpson, it only took you a minute to realize what anybody would realize watching him.
That was one of the least impressive highlight tapes I've ever seen.
Oh, there's some more coming.
He made every tackle he made, and I don't want to pick on this guy. He's probably a fringe prospect.
Might be listening.
But every tackle he made was by a shoestring. In college,
and he looks like a corner.
Yeah, and I wrote that down too. Very very slight build.
So we'll be getting those up on the web starting this week. Different positions, and I know everyone's interested in that. We'll try to do some mock drafts. Even though,
speaking of mocks, lately the mocks are very interesting.
Ridiculous.
But if they hear anything, if you're a Patriots fan, mock drafts right now, Vic Carucci and Mel Kiper, it's a dream mock. Because
24 and 28, who do they take?
At 24, more inside linebacker Patrick Willis out of Ole Miss. And I'll give you a little bit of an entry at 28. Either safety Reggie Nelson from Florida or the versatile defensive back Eric Weddle out of Utah.
Boo. I don't like the Weddle part.
I find it hard to believe that two guys who we think are two of the better defensive players in the draft are going to be there at 24.
I don't think it's going to happen, but
maybe
if you're
one.
A Patriots fan, it's a dream.
I was going to say, it's not exactly unprecedented to have the best players in the draft fall into the 20s for the Patriots.
That's true.
I mean,
it has worked out.
If any team gets that kind of break, the Patriots get it. I mean,
that plus the way the offseason's going, Adelius Thomas, I don't want to go to the West Coast. I'm staying in New England.
Yeah, it's like that little mojo they got. Right. They had working is back.
Patrick Willis, this putting something under his nose.
To me, Willis at 24 seems more unrealistic. I could see maybe
Nelson has more questions.
I agree. I agree with you.
No question. But if you could get that, I'll be doing cartwheels in the press box because Willis.
You were doing cartwheels last year after they drafted Maroney and Chad Jackson.
Yeah, and Maroney's going to be okay. And Jackson's
he was
still
doing
talent.
Cartwheels, although I was pretty excited. About
I
something.
Like when they draft guys that I want to watch.
I'm just pointing out the fact that the draft is so hard because when they draft those name guys that you know, you get so excited. But and they might have a guy in the round six who ends up being better than...
Plus the position. No offense. I knew Vince Wilfork would probably be a pretty good player, but he's a nose tackle.
How exciting.
Now, if I get a linebacker and a safety, I can watch them, and right. I can watch them kill people. I can watch them make plays.
I mean, you guys must have been going crazy when they drafted Logan Mankins. I mean...
Well, we were all stunned, to be honest with you. That was the only time that the whole mantra of, oh, he'll always do something that no one expects. That was true that year.
Right.
I resign.
No one saw that one. But
can always get a guard.
Your point about Wilfork, we were all going crazy. Like, I can't believe Wilfork is falling. He's falling. They got to take Wilfork. This is the greatest pick ever. And still, there's no excitement
because it's
a nose tackle. But, we're all over that
right.
pick.
Doesn't mean it's right. I mean, I was excited as anyone when Andy Katzenmoyer was selected.
Well, that was
tremendous.
I really think there was some issues there.
Oh, there were a lot of issues
far
there.
Beyond football.
But I'm just saying, you know, they could get Willis and Nelson, and maybe they both stink. Maybe one breaks his leg and one gets a DUI the day after the draft, and all of a sudden you go, boy, that really wasn't how I saw it unfolding. You know,
but that would be a great draft if they got those two guys. I think everyone agrees.
Weddle, though, I don't like. He's an arrogant SOB.
It's first round
stinks.
I know you haven't watched the tape yet, Andy. Of Rouse, but you watch Aaron Rouse play and you watch Eric Weddle play, and you tell me who looks like a first round.
I'm saying neither of them.
Well, Rouse, you know, he looks pretty good. And
I'm saying
Griffin from Texas is phenomenal.
I like Michael Griffin, but both the guys you just mentioned, I think they have too many question marks. That's my big thing. I have trouble with a guy in the first round, and we talked about this earlier with Puslesny upstairs. When you start listing a guy's question marks and there's a few of them, then I go, there's got to be somebody else who has less question marks and is more worthy of a first-round pick.
There's only one person I know that has less question marks than Puslesny, and it's his teammate, Tim Shaw. Because, to me, if this team drafts Puslesny, you'll live to regret it to the day you die, in my opinion. I think he was a good player on a great college defense, and that's all he's ever going to be. He's a special team player in the NFL. I really believe that. And, Andy, I thought you brought up a great point, which
probably.
I saw on tape, was that he has... chicken legs. His legs are so skinny, and it doesn't look like he's got much room to put. That's just
right.
his build. He's
natural.
He's big up top, but he's got these small legs. And
so you wouldn't kill for that body?
No. No. I only kill for guys' bodies who are poor tippers.
Like Ben Watson?
Yeah. Just so you guys know, Ben Watson, apparently, he must be going through a tough patch financially because my fiance waited on him, and he gave her a $4 tip.
Terrible.
It was $23, right? Now, we're not expecting a $100 tip just because he plays football.
Just a
normal
tip.
But wouldn't you round up to $30?
$30.
Wouldn't
it's
you
the
round
automatic.
Up to $30?
Right, Gary, I mean, the automatic.
Gary, would you round up to
$23 bill, you leave $30. Or maybe Gary's cheap.
No, I'd put $5 down.
Boy.
That's over 20%.
I understand the 20%.
I'm big in the rounding.
They both ripped me too, Gary. I said I give 20% unless I get bad service.
Well,
I would have gone 30.
I just think.
Plus, he returned his wings after eating most of them.
Yeah, and
I think that's the part.
He pulled a Perillo. Oh, these are terrible. Can I get more?
Let me
when
ask
have
you
I
something.
Ever done
how,
that
how,
one time in my entire
I don't know, I'm
life?
I'm sure you have.
How's your life going to change,
and screwed,
Gary,
done
from
all
$5 to $7?
That's right. Not the same thing.
Wouldn't you just round up to 30? Doesn't it just make it easier for you? You know what I'm saying?
That's not the point. I mean, if I only had a 20 and a 10, then yeah, I'd leave 30.
Right.
I'm with Tom. Ben Jeez. Watson tips like he catches balls half as much as he should.
So
you sucked that bone dry.
That's a very good line.
Ben Watson's done. He's dead
but I
to
think
me.
The far bigger offense, in my opinion, that you guys don't really talk about was the whole thing about him eating more than half of his food and sending it back and then getting more. I think that was.
Did she spit in the ones that came back?
No, she was very nice. He was being nice. He was happy and everything. And then $4. Thanks, Ben.
We're down on Ben Watson.
That'll help out for the wedding. Thanks a lot.
Dave Thomas taking over the tight end situation.
I'll make sure to single out Ben Watson at my wedding. This was made possible by Ben Watson and his $4 tip. Cheap bastard. All right, you guys want to get to the emails? You want to talk about something? What do you want to do?
I'd like to get to the pizza, but since it's not here yet, I guess the emails will have to do.
Because we got a couple. Well, one email is just appalling. I mean, simply appalling. When your title is Fred is a Genius and you expect us to take you seriously.
Can I ask
I mean,
you a question?
On.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
If the tab was $100 and he gave a $20 tip, would that be okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right.
I don't have a lot of money, but if my bill came to $23, I'd give seven. That's just how I would.
I would too.
Just like.
But that's the way it usually works. The poorer you are, the better you tip, and the more money you make, the worse you
become.
But I
don't really compute it in
my
head.
If it was $92, what would you give?
I'd probably go 110.
Give 18.
I just don't get it.
Well, is what it is.
You, Gary, and Ben Watson can all go out to dinner and give a $2 tip.
I am by no means.
What do they all have in common with us, Tom? They make more money than us.
I am by no means a cheap tipper.
But you know what?
I'm just saying that one was less percentage than what you got, and you said it was okay.
When's your birthday?
June.
Okay, you know what I'm going to get you? I'm going to get you a tip calculator like on Seinfeld so you can figure out the tip.
I don't need one. 20% is very easy to figure out.
We'll round down. God forbid they should refill the waters. Okay,
I don't get it.
Oh, wait.
It's a Seinfeld. Remember where he's got the tip calculator and he goes, it's 4.877, and the father goes, we'll round down. God forbid they should refill the water. All right, somebody, for some reason that we can't comprehend, thinks Fred is a genius. He says, hey, guys, as I was listening to PFW in Progress, I heard Fred arguing his point on Wes Welker. Fred is a genius. Let's face it, guys, Belichick has got plans for this guy. I think Welker could be better than Branch for the simple reason of yards after catch. Stand your ground, Fred. You are right. Has Wes Welker ever...
Yards after catch? He has no yards anyway, and if you start dividing him into before catch and after catch, he's really going to have no yards. He's 10 yards a catch, no matter where you get him.
Yeah, I don't understand that, really.
By the way, I saw him in with Belo today. He looks about the size of Bob Doyle.
He's small. But the yards after the catch, he's not really known for
Plus,
that. He's known as a sure-handed guy who... You know, going to catch the ball.
He's never had Deion Branch kind of numbers in terms of average per catch.
Right.
So I don't understand how you're getting yards after catch unless you're just catching passes parallel to the line of scrimmage and you're getting 10 yards out of it.
Right, he's still only getting 10 yards.
It's 10 yards after the catch.
I don't care how he gets them. He's only getting 10 yards.
I'll take a guy who's catching a 15-yard pass and getting no yards after the catch.
And listen, let's just say it like it is. He's not Deion Branch. He's not as good as Deion Branch. He's never going to be as good as Deion Branch, and that's life. So.
And I also think that this is probably more directed to me because Branch, I think I've been more outspoken about it. But I think the Wes Welker quote-unquote bashing has been a little bit overplayed. I think we all think the guy is a reasonably productive player. No, well, I think that we're getting a lot of emails saying, Fred's right, he's going to be this, he's going to be that. I don't think anybody's saying that he's not capable of doing.
I certainly haven't.
The biggest criticism I've had of Wes Welker has nothing really to do with Wes Welker, and that's what the Patriots gave up to get him. If you sign this guy as a free agent for a reasonable contract, for a Kelly Washington contract, that you could get out of after 1 year if it didn't work out, I think it's a great signing. But I think to give up a second-round pick and invest at least $10 million in him, now he's got to be more than that. And I'm not sure he is any more than that.
He's got to prove to me that he's anything more than we all said he was from the beginning, a nice little player.
Right, and I think that he can do some things for you. This is what I'm talking about. I think it's
a nice
little
player
over...
who was traded for the same things that, like, Randy Moss is going to be traded for, you know, these proven number one type targets. And the other issue is his comment about, I'm sure Bill has a plan for him. Well, you know what? I'm sure Bill had a plan for Monty Beisel and Doug
Bethel
Gabriel
Johnson.
And Bethel Johnson and Marquise Hill.
Donald
Not
Pace.
All the plans work out. They sign guys. They trade for Dwayne Starks. They've acquired guys in a variety of ways that I'm sure he had a plan for didn't work out. That's in Bill
we trust.
They've
made a lot of moves, and some of them have worked, and some of them haven't.
I mean, I have no problem. If fans want to just go with that, that's fine. But our job is to sort of look and see which moves we think are going
to
work.
And by no means are we always right either, and we don't claim to be. But,
well,
you know,
I'm pretty good.
With Wes Welker, I think he'll be a reasonably productive player. I just don't know if he's going to be worth the price tag it costs to get him.
Do we have breaking news out of the food center?
Yeah, but first we have the best email ever sent.
Tom's an idiot.
Tom Fasali is a genius, enough said, but that's not why it's the best. This guy sent us two pictures of his girlfriend naked, almost naked, and, I mean, unbelievable. Come on over and take a look at this.
You should probably talk.
I'm guessing that's not his girlfriend.
No, this guy, he's in charge of strippers or something in New Hampshire.
Okay.
He's
What's the other picture?
hang on.
This is great radio.
Ow! I'm trying to put it out like again.
There's the other one. Apparently, we'll just leave it at that.
But the guy who said we should clean up the show is not going to like this.
No, he is not. But
I don't approve of that sort of behavior.
Thank you for that. We appreciate it. Well, back to the real important stuff. Our food will be here in 45 minutes. Thank you, some guy. We appreciate it.
Matt in Dover.
Matt in Dover, you are the...
Well, let's wait a minute. When the food gets here, we'll start the praise.
Yeah, you'll be the fan
it's
of the week.
Be here
when
in 45 minutes. What do you want?
He could have just emailed in to be a Yahoo and make fun of us when we praise him for 45 minutes and get no food.
Well, just in case Fred is listening, we better get to the football talk. No, wait, Fred is on a plane.
Fred is somewhere over...
in a Chinese prison.
Is Fred still in China as we speak,
He's
or is
flying
he coming
back
home today?
No disrespect to the
or
Oriental.
He could be in a Chinese prison.
Yeah, I think there's Fred at least a 40% chance that he's in a Chinese prison.
Fred you has know, been in China since the weekend.
And you know he probably said a joke to the wrong person. He's been reprimanded.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
He's probably due to be executed at 7 o'clock tonight. So we may never see Fred again. But Nick in San Diego, he says... who are you guys talking about when you talk about Goose? I tried searching for him on Google, and all I got was the Major League Baseball reliever. I'm always looking for good football writers, and you guys, who I respect, seem to like him. Who is he, and who does he write for? That is Rick Goslin for the Dallas Morning News.
I think his stuff is hard to get to, though, because I think a lot of it is like subscriber.
Yeah,
you have
he's one of those. You have to have the...
He's one of the elite
sign-in
NFL writers in the country. He has a lot, you know, his mock draft that he does right before the draft, I think the day before, is not truly a mock. He's talked to just about everyone, and he knows in some way how a lot of teams are going to draft, and he does it that way. And he also has a special teams ranking system that some teams and some players use for bonus money.
Mm-hmm.
Like certain special team coaches, if they rank high in his, get a bonus based
right.
on his rankings.
His special teams rankings in particular are about as... extensive as you'll find.
Mm-hmm.
He ranks the teams in about 8, 10, or 12 categories, and he combines them all into a formula where he ranks the teams. It's a pretty elaborate system, and I know for a fact that he's very well respected in NFL
everywhere
circles.
Outside the media room at the company.
Yeah, at the combine, it's weird because he's such a great writer and everyone loves him, but he just asks these questions that you're wondering. We still got to email him and find out why he's asking those questions. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
We should have him on the show someday. I don't know. Is he good?
We should. He was on the...
I've never really
the
heard him.
He was on Kevin Winter's draft show.
But will he play along if we kind of have a little fun with him?
I don't know.
He seems a little serious.
We could ask him about that, but that is true. He might be a little too serious for our sophomore
The impression
taste.
I get, and I've never really spoken with him one-on-one, but just listening to him at the combine, he seems pretty... serious that he wouldn't really
and I mean,
play
he's,
well.
He's pretty much what we would want. I mean, that's like the top of the profession pretty much.
Yeah, he's up there.
He's up there near the top, and he's one of the best when it comes
and
to
it's
the NFL.
It's funny because he's up there near the top, but seems like he's never really bought into the media, like be on the radio, be on TV,
yeah.
ESPN. He's just sort of
he might, I think
he's
an
a
old
great old school
reporter.
Football writer
yeah.
from Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, today, a lot of people like us, we have to do radio and stuff purely just to make more money. But
we can leave more than a $4 tip.
See, that's why I wonder if maybe he's too serious for it. Because I don't know what he does in Dallas. Maybe he does a lot of stuff in Dallas. But I don't see him on the making the rounds like a lot of
right.
the other NFL, national NFL types do. You see
I bet
him?
He's not, doesn't like it, doesn't think it's the right thing to do kind
right.
of thing.
And Nick goes on to say, I don't think there has been anyone that has impressed me more in their comments than Kelly Washington. He clearly has an attitude of humility that should be applauded. Well, he's got that because he only has, like,
right.
70 catches.
But I agree. I was very impressed with Kelly Washington's initial comment.
But I wouldn't expect him to come in and say he's the greatest receiver since sliced bread either. I mean,
Jeremy Mincy was a 6th-round pick and projected he'd be captain of the team in a year.
Well, maybe he's going to be captain in San Francisco.
I mean, there's a lot of idiots out there.
I think he could be
that
the number...
That was one of the most surreal interviews of my career, by the way, Jeremy Mincy.
There are a lot
now,
of
he was a Patriots-type player, right? That's why they drafted him?
Who, Mincy?
Yeah.
I don't think he had any arrests in his past.
I think he could be the number 2 wide receiver come opening day just on potential, but he will be a great addition regardless. I wanted the Pats to take a run on him not knowing a lot about him. Now that I know more about him, his comments, and the fact that he worked hard to learn special teams, I am happy we got him. That's Nick in San Diego.
Well, we agree with you
yes.
on that one, Nick. I think we were all impressed with Kelly Washington.
No question. And again, no real downside to it. Big upside, no downside. He's another wide receiver who I liked. I would have liked it if the Patriots had drafted him a couple of years ago. I was lusting after him. Those wide receivers will get you in trouble. You fall in love with one of them, they can really make you look bad.
You know what? It's probably the position that can most happen to you because, number one, they're so temperamental and they have such a sense of entitlement. But, I think Tom Curran talked about this a lot, too. It's the position where a guy can make a big impact, but he's dependent on someone else to make a big impact. Right. A running back, you hand him the ball, and, yeah, if he doesn't have a good offensive line, but even if he doesn't, if a great running back, he's going to find a way, like Barry Sanders, you know? Quarterbacks, obviously. But if you're a receiver, you have to have that quarterback get you the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all divas. Mm-hmm. You know, if they don't get the ball enough times, they're going to cause problems.
Plus, it's a position where you can reach your ceiling in college but still be so dominant in college and then just fall off the face of the earth in the NFL where all of a sudden you're not physically dominant anymore. You're a step slow or you're not as strong as you thought you were and you don't cut quite as well. You know, Mike Williams, Tom, you sent an email about Mel Kiper and him thinking that Mike Williams was going to be a Hall of Famer. I thought so, too. I was in love with him.
Too. I liked Mike
Williams. I still say we'll never know because I think he got screwed by the year off.
ESPN has our boy Houston going one pick before.
23?
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I don't know what is going on here, Gary. What's up with the spam? I don't know, but now we have a thing to give to a charity.
Just probably just not read it.
Just well,
you should probably just delete it.
I'm just wondering. This is like the fourth one we've gotten today.
Yeah, why don't we have a spam filter?
I think charities stink, and I'm not going to give them any money. And if you think I'm kidding, call the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation and find out how much money I've given them over the years.
Tom apparently
a great tipper,
huh? Oh, I'll tip. Yeah,
that's why he can't give the charity.
Because
I think the
charities
tips.
Are stealing my money. Where's my cure? As soon as they cure diabetes, I'll start giving money to other charities.
He's gonna give retroactively.
Yeah,
you cure me first, and then I'll give you some money.
Let's be honest. I don't think my $25 is really going anywhere to curing diabetes. Who's this? Ed in Hampton, Virginia. I listen to PFW in Progress, and you guys always take shots at Jabbar like he is the worst wide receiver in the NFL. Well, no, he's just a guy they got off the street last year. All the guy did was tort. Okay, before we go on here, they had Jabbar Gaffney, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the year?
Yeah.
And then what do? They go out and sign three receivers. So they must have been happy as hell with Jabbar Gaffney.
Right.
They must think he's going to be a Pro Bowler because they went out and traded a second-round pick for a guy, signed Stallworth, and then signed Washington, and heck, might even draft a receiver on the first day of the draft. So that's how happy they were with Jabbar Gaffney.
Bill's got a plan.
He caught 11 passes in the regular season. I understand. I understand he had two very good playoff games against the Jets and against San Diego, okay? But he caught 11 passes in 12 weeks.
Fans can take
11
heart.
Weeks.
They saw the greatest games that Jabbar Gaffney played in the National Football League.
And this is not
in the postseason.
This is another one. I don't want this one to be turned around on us again either. You know, it's not Gaffney bashing. It's recognizing what the player is. He was in Houston, a team that threw the ball a lot, and he was reasonably productive there.
Right.
But they didn't think he was that good, but they wouldn't have just let him walk for nothing. He went to Philadelphia, a team that had no wide receivers. They let him walk. Is everybody else wrong about this guy? But the Patriots
how many,
are right?
How many times
got
do we
beat
have
out by to, Hank Baskett?
How many times?
Hank your Baskett, guy,
who we know stinks because
right,
you liked
Hank
him.
Hank Baskett. I'm not saying he's great. I'm telling you that's a joke. If
best
you're
blocking
beat out.
Wide receiver in the draft.
And
last
how
year,
many
wasn't
times
it?
Do we have to see
according
it?
To him,
Jermaine Wiggins played a great role for this team in the postseason.
Thank
and they
you.
Went out and they traded up to draft a tight end.
Right. Now, does anybody say
J.R. Redmond. They replaced him.
But that's a perfect one.
Thanks,
Paul. Jermaine Wiggins. Because does anybody
sit
here?
On his fourth team.
Does anybody sit here and say, boy, the Patriots really screwed right. up there. Look at all the passes he's catching. You can catch passes and still not be all that great.
Right.
You know, depending on where you wind up and the situation you get into, I think Gaffney.
Guy helped him win a Super Bowl,
I
and they
think
just
Gaffney
said, he's not that good.
Is really a borderline wide receiver. I think there's probably 15 teams that he could play for, and you know, maybe half of them that he couldn't.
And Paul, you know? Let's break this down for a second, too. Now, San Diego, they couldn't stop anybody through the air. That's a fact, right?
That is a fact.
Now, who was covering Gaffney at the beginning of that Jets game?
The guy who couldn't walk.
The first four passes he caught were against
Andre Dyson
who should have been shot. If he was Barbaro, they wouldn't even have put him through all the stuff that they did.
Right, and then they put in a backup who was covered. So,
right.
I mean, let's put it
and
in
he still dropped a big touchdown pass in that game.
Well, this guy goes on to kill us. He says,
I know. I got a couple of ASPFWs killing me about getting my Gaffney bashing.
All the guy did was torch San Diego and the Jets defense and make a beautiful catch along the sidelines in the end zone against the Colts. But you guys are high on Kelly Washington.
No. Who said we're high on Kelly Washington?
Well, they just think, you know, selective amnesia.
I'm high on Kelly. Well, I'll admit to that. I think Kelly Washington's has
more physical talent, no question.
Yes. And he said, if you look at Jabbar Gaffney's stats compared to his, he should have been a four-time Pro Bowler. And I love Troy Brown. He has done a lot for the Patriots organization. But at this point in his career, he is not better than Jabbar Gaffney.
I still think he's better than Jabbar Gaffney.
In a roster report.
I do too.
I think he'll be better than Jabbar Gaffney when he's 60 and blind.
Right. I think he's better than Jabbar Gaffney. Now, if that's bashing Gaffney, I'm sorry, but I think Troy Brown's a better player.
I'll take him any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
And the other part of it is they're all going to be free agents. They're all in the last year of their contract. So it's not like, well, we'll keep Gaffney because, you know, we have him for 3 years and this is Troy's last year. Well, you probably don't have Gaffney for 3 years. I mean, he's the last year of his contract, and if he's as good as everybody says he is, the Patriots probably won't re-sign him.
He'll be getting $25 million signing bonus.
Before I go on, well, let me read the rest of this email, then I'll make a point and see what you guys think. All Troy Brown is at this point in his career as a receiver is a great route runner, but he probably couldn't beat Tom Brady in a foot race. He's still pretty quick. Jabbar Gaffney is much faster than Troy Brown and more of a vertical threat. I could tell by all the big plays he made.
Stop editorializing.
I was going to say, which was Tom and which was the email?
He may drop a few balls when Tom Brady goes out for a deep route. The ball is always about 15 yards ahead of him because he runs a 5-flat. And if Troy Brown is better than Jabbar Gaffney, then why didn't he start over him in the postseason? All right, let's go over this
First of all, they play a different position. We'll start with that. Troy Brown was always in the slot.
Right.
And Gaffney played outside in the playoffs. Now, I know Gaffney can play in the slot, but in the playoffs, that's not what they did.
Rashay, let's go over this. I think this is
a laughable argument. He's better than Troy
Brown.
Let's go over the
guys who make the team.
Very disrespectful.
Dante Stallworth.
Yes.
He's on, right?
Yes.
Wes Welker.
Yes.
Probably, most likely, Caldwell's in. Right?
Yes.
We'll say Chad Jackson. Even if he starts on PUP, you count him, that's four. So then you got Washington and you got Gaffney. They'd be fighting for that fifth,
with the possibility
spot
of Troy Brown.
And Troy Brown. So guess
and
what?
A rookie, maybe.
And a rookie.
And let me throw this in there before, and I'm not even sure if I mentioned this to you, because the day, Tom, that you weren't here, and it was the day, Andy, that you left. And
You're going to have to be more specific.
Monday. I had someone tell me that one Troy Brown was in attendance at the off-season conditioning program Monday.
Okay.
So take that for whatever it's worth. Maybe it's worth nothing.
Somebody might want to tell him to sign a contract before it's going to work out here.
Maybe it's worth absolutely nothing, but maybe he's still in the plans.
But let's say he does sign. No way he gets cut, right? Troy Brown probably wouldn't come back unless he has a pretty good guarantee that he's going to make the team.
If the writing is on the wall that they don't want him back, I got to think they would say Troy.
Him. Yeah.
I just don't see a spot for you here. Let's do one of those. You know what? I just can't play at the level that I'm accustomed to playing anymore, so I'm going to retire.
Right.
So
I can't see them just cutting him coldly.
This guy went on a huge email about Jabbar Gaffney, and now we're wondering if he's going to make the team. I mean, that's what he is, right?
I don't want to take the guy's opinion away. His opinion isn't that.
Right.
I think his opinion is that Jabbar Gaffney is a lock in a big part of the offense.
Sounds like he would put him
right after.
He would put Kelly Washington out
to
pasture.
That's what I'm saying. But we're saying that he might not even make the team.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, sure. But
so
I think we're in the minority there.
Well, there might be a few people surprised come training camp because they re-signed Bam Childress, so I don't think any of those lower guys. I think Gaffney, you were a guy off the street. He had a couple of good playoff games. I don't think he did really anything in the regular season, to be honest with you.
Nope.
And if you don't show Bill Belichick you can do it game after game, I don't think he takes one game and says, I really want this guy.
He goes out and trades for a receiver and signs two others and maybe drafts one. I mean, that's what he is. I don't want to say Jabbar Gaffney never should have stepped out of college, never should ever put on cleats and a helmet. He's a fringe roster NFL wide receiver. He's perfect for what the Patriots got last season, signing him mid-year. He has enough talent to help you in the long run when you're in an emergency situation.
Right.
But in a normal training camp, you've had all season to put together five wide receivers that you think can make your team. I think he's in a fight for his professional life virtually every single time.
I hope that's not perceived as bashing because it's not really meant to be bashing. I think the guy did a nice job last year considering the circumstances.
Bart Gaffney's Andy Hart as a writer. Marginal at best.
Dime a dozen.
Agreed. Mark chimes in with, any free agent signings are pointless without securing the safety position with two players. With a healthy Rodney Harrison and Eugene Wilson, the Patriots would not have been exploited severely like they did against the Colts and probably would have won Super Bowl 41. It cannot be expected for either of these guys to be important in 07. It is critical to draft two quality safeties. In 03-04, during the streak, the difference in the middle of the defense is glaring to the last year, to last year's debacle. Thomas should help. Moving up is pointless. Griffin will be better than Landry.
Who's this guy? I like this guy.
Griffin will be better than Landry. No, he won't.
And I wouldn't yell that, whoever you are, because I'm a little hesitant to say it myself.
I'm pretty good with bets here with the fans, because I still don't think we're going to be taking that guy from Georgia at number 60, so I don't have to give the one email or $100. I'd watch yourself with that comment. Griffin and the 28th best player is the way to go. Agree with the Penn State linebackers. Pray a Teddy Bruschi in the third round, and the championship may come back. If all three wideouts are Jerry Rice, Brady will have a huge year, but without the defense improving from right here, someone else will get the ring. So there is someone who's not happy with the way things have gone.
The only thing
I'm going to sound like a real, just a contrarian here. I don't share those fears, do you?
Of?
The secondary bringing, I mean, I don't think the secondary is in that bad a shape. I really think that they're going to address it in the draft.
I do too.
Early in the draft, but I think if the frontline guys, if you have Hobbs and Samuel with Wilson and Harrison, plus Sanders, plus Hawkins possibly.
Being pushed to their normal backup role.
I don't think that's that bad. Now, if you get five or six injuries like you have the last 3 years, you're going to be in trouble again. So will everybody else.
Well, the one guy, it's still, to me, the kind of weird wild card, whatever, and it's the guy Wilson. He was part of it when they were good,
right.
And then we've seen him be sort of part of it when they haven't been so good. And he's not Rodney Harrison. He's not in year, whatever, 13, and you say, well, you know what, the injuries and the age, it's just too much. He's starting to lose something. I want to, and I don't know the answer to this myself. I don't know where Eugene Wilson is in his development and where he is as a player, whether he's a playmaker, whether he's regressing, whether, I don't know where he is.
I agree, but let's just throw this out there, entering his free agent year now.
Ah, I see what you're doing there.
Mm. Let's see how he responds to it.
I think he has a good year.
I do too.
I think he bounces back.
Because I do
really
think some of it is off the field.
That's why I think you can fix the things that I think are wrong with him, you can fix.
By dangling about $5 million, $10 million, million dollars in front of him?
He'll be able to do it himself.
No, that's what I mean. He sees his agent goes, you know what?
Maybe I should stay awake in that meeting today.
Right.
You know, maybe I should work hard, as hard as I can off the field. And I'm not saying anything that's new here. This is the stuff that was talked about him
mm-hmm.
at Illinois.
Right.
Coming out of college. That's why he was a second-round pick and not a first-rounder. So it's not like I'm, you know, telling tales out of school here. The guy had a questionable work ethic when he entered the league, and that's certainly the whispers, whispers out of Foxborough.
If he can play at the height of what we've seen, the best of Eugene Wilson, he's a pretty good safety. I've seen him make some very impressive plays. I thought he was on his way to a potential Pro Bowl career, and then he stopped playing very well.
Right up until the time I called him a potential Pro Bowler, then the wheels fell off.
I mean, seriously, Tom, I don't think you were here for some of our discussions about Wilson, but
no,
probably right after.
I was here just for the bad stuff.
Right.
You know what he was like? He was like one of these safeties that we're talking about that you know, the maybe not as big physically, but versatile guys that you could throw near the line
of
scrimmage.
He was laying people out, getting fined by the league for taking heads off.
I remember watching him on TV. I loved him. Remember you always say I don't like safeties? He was one of the guys that I put in my guys I like.
And now all of a sudden, the last 2 years, he's done next to nothing.
That's why I think he's the wild card, because I agree with Paul. I think your secondary, if the guys can stay healthy, are pretty good. If he plays like the old Eugene Wilson and you draft a rookie who, you know, a Griffin who's kind of mixed in, splitting time with Harrison, doing whatever, I think there's some pretty good talent there.
Now, I completely see the danger of relying on Rodney Harrison staying healthy.
Right.
I mean,
no
the guy's 30, whatever, 34, 35, coming off major injuries now for consecutive years. Chances are he's not going to play 16 games.
You have Hawkins and you have Sanders who are okay, and Sanders maybe could be better than okay, a developing young guy. I think Hawkins is what he is.
Yeah.
But Sanders maybe could still improve, and you draft another guy. I mean, you get some decent talent there.
Yeah, I think Griffin would be. I mean, let me clarify. I think Griffin is right there with Reggie Nelson as battling for the number two safety. I just think LaRon Landry is head and shoulders the number one safety.
And most, I mean, That most people agree.
Yeah, so,
that's why he's going to be a top 10
pick. He may end up being better, but I would say probably not, in my opinion.
Trivia question
for Griffin,
Paul.
But okay, go ahead. But not better than Landry.
Highest safety ever drafted.
Highest safety ever drafted? Is it not Sean Taylor?
It is not Sean Taylor. I'll give you clues if you need them.
Well, let's keep talking here, and I'll think about it.
Do you guys know any of the Victoria's Secret models? Because we have an email that has compared us.
I know them by looks.
I don't know any of the. I did read this email, and I don't know any of the ones that he's.
I have not known them in the biblical sense.
So, well, I'm sure the email is funny.
Thanks for clearing that up, because I really think that was in question.
But we probably don't know any of these models, so it really wouldn't make sense.
Gary, can you print out pictures of these four models so we know who they are?
So we'll go off to Ashton. Ashton,
rubbing his head in there.
Ashton from Virginia. After listening to last week's show, I just have to say one thing, Fred. Get off of Wes Welker's nuts. I see where you're coming from when you say he will be in the mold of Troy Brown, but there is only one Troy Brown. I always thought the Patriots would draft a receiver in the second round anyway, so giving up a second-round draft pick isn't that bad. I just think they overpaid for him. My question is, who do you think will be the starting wide receivers this upcoming season? Stallworth is already penciled in, so the other guy has to either be Caldwell or Gaffney. I want to pick one, but it's a very tough choice. Washington is practicing slot and special team, so he's out. P.S. Don't hate me for this, but there is a black Tom Brady, and his name is Donovan McNabb, minus three rings.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
What does it mean?
Well, McNabb's always been criticized for not throwing very accurately and like kind of throwing the ball low. That's the only thing I could think of.
So he's saying that...
He's saying if McNabb was here, he'd have three rings probably, and Brady would be the McNabb.
Oh.
We're not going to kill you for this, but I got a feeling a couple emails are going to come in.
Yeah, I think Tom
One
Brady.
From Jesse Jackson and the other from Patriots fans.
I think Tom Brady is a lot better than Donovan McNabb.
I don't think Donovan McNabb should be in the same room ever with Tom Brady. That's just my opinion.
Unless they're filming a chunky soup commercial. don't get that one.
What, they had a chunky soup? I know they did chunky soup, right?
No. I mean, I don't get that.
Oh,
that comparison.
Don't confuse Tom.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Yeah, I'm reading.
He's got the headphones on now. He's got his microphone on. Things were going smooth. Just leave him alone.
Okay, Nick says, hello, knuckleheads. One of the things I love about this year in comparison with a year like last year is with all the free agent moves, it makes predicting the draft easier. It does? Well, let us know who they're taking because we don't have a clue.
Clue us in.
Now there have been years when you thought Bill was absolutely taking a running back this year. He has to. And then nothing.
Then they traded for Corey Dillon and ruined my two-page feature.
Right. And instead, they did it the next year.
Right.
Or we have a great tight end tandem, and we won't take one. We won't take two. Crap. But seriously, you guys know Bill better than I do, barely. How about a game of odds maker?
Crap.
Chances of Bill keeping both first picks in the first round. Both picks in the first round. Chances.
Where they select?
What?
Because that would be my question. Do they select at 24 and 28?
Yeah, chances that he keeps those two picks.
10%.
Oh, see, I would say, chances that they keep the two picks right in 24 and 28, like Andy said, 50-50.
I'll go 38.
I'll say 75% that they keep the two first-rounders. Maybe they move up a little bit.
Right, that's what I think happens.
But they'll keep the two, and then 25 that they make a major trade where you're dealing one of the picks to either get up or down or whatever. And
10% that they draft those two spots.
Okay, chances of Bill taking one linebacker in the first round?
50-50.
So 70.
I think that all comes down to the chances that Willis is available, right?
Then I think it's 100%. I think he drafts him.
If
I think
he
makes Jimmy D run to the stage.
Maybe he doesn't like him.
Yeah. Doesn't know football.
His chances of Bill drafting a Florida, Miami, or Fresno player?
85.
90%.
Yeah, I mean, got to figure that, right? What are the odds he doesn't draft a Florida or Fresno
player? Right,
right.
Chances of Bill actually going along with the idiot mock drafts and selecting Posluszny or Leonard? 0%.
Zero.
Because he knows more about football than us.
Although the Leonard one kind of scares me.
Not unless he can get him in the fourth round.
Why? He doesn't need to draft Leonard. He can call Andy Hart. Just dial up his number. That's who he is. Doing my drafting, Paul, I actually wrote, looks like Andy Hart with a little more talent.
That's not good for him.
No hands, though. Andy has no hands.
I had hands.
Oh, sorry.
It's just you wear those big pads.
Andy didn't have the Leonard leap, though, so...
Yeah, no. He hurdles people.
He says, chances of Bill using one of the firsts on an offensive lineman.
That's gaining steam lately. I don't see it, but that's gaining steam.
40%.
I would put it a little less than that, but
at 22.
That's becoming, I guess, the position, you know, the in vogue position all of a sudden, offensive line. I don't
Joe
think it,
Staley,
I don't
I've
think
seen
it makes
as
a lot
one
of
them.
I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
A guy who's wowing people with his physical ability. Another thing, Paul. Did you see David Ball's pro day? They had the UNH or something.
The Northeastern kid went to a pro day, the tight end, Kendrick Ballinger.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Go ahead.
I was watching because David Ball got shown up by an offensive lineman. The buzz was there's a guard from UNH, and he ran a 4.9 40 and had a higher vertical jump than David Ball.
What did Ball run for a 40?
Didn't run the 40, I don't
know. Oh, that's good.
Oh, no, he did run
for
it.
For a guy who's got questions about his speed,
he's
not running it.
He ran a 4.61.
Oh, see?
But he's still blaming a quad that he injured in the Senior Bowl, and he's going to run it one more time, like March 30th or somewhere at the end of the month.
Because I choose not to run!
But I guess it was really cold, and they didn't throw the ball at all. It was all drills. Yeah, they had a
pro day at Harvard and they generally do that in New England. They usually do it at BC.
Right.
But I guess they did it for any of the local schools that didn't have guys invited to the combine. And there was a tight end from Northeastern who actually did have a very good senior year. He's not a pro prospect.
Anybody from Tufts there?
I don't know. They could have been.
Probably not.
But the guy from Northeastern for a tight end, he's 6'4", you know, 260. So he's got decent size, and he has excellent hands. But, you know, he made the big catch against UNH, Tom, in overtime on the 4th and 5. That was the big one when you guys were out at Billy Ogden's.
Okay, now let's get the people who will actually play it down in the NFL. By the way, Nick says game over, Tom wins. So I
For
guess
what?
I won the I game know. We were playing.
I don't know what we were playing.
Just the percentage thing. It was just a joke.
Oh.
He said game over, Tom wins. Our boy Strippers comes back, and I wanted to talk about this guy, so I want to hear Andy's opinion.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about the strippers.
No.
That's what I thought he was
saying. Marcus McCauley. This is Eric from Manchester, by the way. What are your opinions of him? Fresno State guy after junior year was top 10 pick. Senior year he sucked. Pat Hill sat him. Think the Patriots are interested in him?
No.
Thanks. He's a safety.
Yeah.
Now, just to show you what we think, Andy and I pretty much watch the tapes without discussing the guys, really, to see what our opinions are. We had the exact same opinion on this guy.
Right.
We both thought he can't play corner, but he might be able to play safety. He's big, physical. He can't cover worth a darn.
But the problem is, he's another guy. Yeah, I think Bill would draft him in the 3rd or 4th round.
Just not the first.
Just not the first.
Yeah.
I agree. Somebody might. So if he's still around when the Patriots are picking, then I'd say, you know, that McCauley guy, maybe Bill will like his versatility, play some safety, whatever, but not early.
I can't comment because I didn't get to F yet.
It's way down the line.
Hey, Roy Williams, what number did he get drafted?
8.
Not the answer.
Okay. No, yeah, Taylor was ahead of him.
Taylor was 6.
Think
4.
Earlier.
Earlier what?
Earlier
in the draft, for one.
Well, I know that. That's why I said
earlier in years, I meant, Paul. It's not in that area.
Let me know when you need clues.
I think I'll need clues.
Okay, we got David from Queens. He wants to talk about the O-line. It seems as if the ideal draft would be to get a safety and or middle linebacker, possibly trading up for Landry or preferably Willis to fill our secondary or middle linebacker needs.
Sure.
Seeing how neither of those players are going to be available if we stay where we are, well, and we shouldn't assume that. Like Andy said, well, you never know who's going to slip.
I've seen plenty of guys. I mean, Kelly Washington, the prime example of a guy who was supposed to go at like 21 when the Patriots are picking. And will he be there? Will he? Well, he was there 2 rounds later.
The guy's name, we always forget his name, the Michigan guy, Shazer, Ernest Shazer.
He didn't get drafted, did he?
That message boards all over the world wanted their teams to draft this guy. When he fell out of round 2, when he ended up not getting drafted. So you never know with these guys.
You really don't. That's why it's fun.
And he says, is there an offensive tackle you think would be a good pick? Is it just me, or did you see Light getting beat more than anyone else last year? And after the beating he took last year, I think the next priority is to give Brady some more protection. No pun intended. I knew Andy would like that one.
That's
so
tremendous.
That was very good.
Even if he doesn't send food, that guy is second best emailer of the day.
Well, the one guy that we kind of liked, it was a Blaylock from Texas, because he can play guard, tackle, versatility type thing. But
I need my notes.
You're the offensive line guy.
There's some good linemen. A guy I just watched, Harris, played left tackle at Notre Dame. I think he would need to put on some weight and some strength. But he's one of those leadership guys, well-rounded, blah, blah, blah. Obviously played in Charlie's system, so he could be a candidate. There's some small school. Like I said, Staley is a guy that people have, wowed about. Is he a late first-round pick now?
Well, I did happen to check out a couple of guards from Auburn.
Oh, Grubbs.
Well, Grubbs
is the best guard in the draft.
Yeah, I saw that he was.
And the other guy's phenomenal, too.
I like the other guy's mobility.
I watched the video, and I said, you know who needs a raise? The Auburn offensive line coach, because his guys play very good football.
Yeah, and there was an Arizona State kid that I saw that was not on your list that wasn't as good.
But I need to remember to bring my notes from next show, because I do watch all the offensive linemen, and I actually find offensive line one of those. I think it's easier to pick good guys and bad guys. I think you can look at their footwork and say
hands and feet.
He can move. I think you can look at his – there's a lot of guys that – one of the things I don't like is guys that catch. They catch guys and let them get to their
body.
That's
why I say hands.
You're in trouble.
Hands and feet.
Explode with
your
hands and move your feet. It's not. I mean, it's not rocket science.
You watched the brick last year and nobody ever touched him.
Right,
because he never lets anybody get inside his circle.
Now there's other guys that get the good first punch, but they're not strong enough and they lose that cushion. So there's different. But to me, offensive line is actually you can watch and see if a guy has a chance to be competitive.
If they are indeed interested in an offensive lineman in the first round, a Staley, like you guys have been talking about, would that be an indication that maybe they don't think as much of Kazier as we think?
That's where I think they would be going. I think the Matt Light thing is, he's a whipping boy for the fans, but don't you guys agree? Matt Light's not going anywhere.
Well, I don't know. He could go to right tackle.
Well, he could, but that's a lot of money they just gave him for a right tackle, don't you think?
You going to start a rookie at left tackle?
Or maybe they start
Don't you
the
think
rookie
they start the
right.
rookie at right, and then if he was great, they would make the switch that way?
I think that would be the more likely scenario if that were to happen, was that it would be a gradual switch. But
the one thing I would say is Matt Light hasn't changed in my eyes since he's been here. He's been mediocre. He gets beat. He plays well at times, needs help at times. I didn't see it any more or less last year, but you can now never take away. He's Pro Bowl left tackle Matt Light.
Right, but I think Paul's point makes sense is we're not sure what they really think of Kazier.
Right.
And now if they don't really like Kazier and they think O'Callaghan is a backup swingman type guy, then all of a sudden taking a tackle high makes more sense because you don't know how the football – maybe they cut Kazier. You know what I mean? Like maybe he's not even going to make the team. Who knows?
Yeah,
you don't know what they're thinking.
You got a couple fourth and fifth round picks that are fighting for position.
My guess would be is if they took one that high, that's not good news for Kazier when it comes to making this team.
Well, it's not good news for somebody because they're not drafting somebody in the first round to be a project for the next 5 years.
Right.
They do that in the second round.
always got to take a shot.
That's why when I request people, I don't get the interview. Yeah.
Stole it.
Jay from England. My first question goes out to Paul.
Uh-oh.
When I read yesterday's Ask PFW, the last thing I expected was a so-called fan suggesting we use our draft picks on our defensive line. Is this guy crazy? Our defensive line is one of the strongest positions, and to ignore other more pressing needs because a few guys got tired in the AFC Championship game is ridiculous. Your reply was a bit tame, Paul. You should have laughed at the guy and ridiculed him thoroughly. Paul?
Well, as I said before, I'm trying to be a kindler, gentler Paul Perillo because I've been coming under fire lately with my kind of outspokenness, for lack of a better word.
Your grating opinions.
So I don't want to be coming down too hard, but I did think that was particularly defensive line I thought was ridiculous to suggest that we would use a first-round pick on an area that we already have four, in my opinion, four starting-caliber players, where when you have some real question marks in terms of depth at linebacker and in the secondary.
I think they go five deep.
I actually think in the offensive line, I don't think they're going to use a pick on an offensive lineman either. I just don't feel as strongly about that.
No, I agree. And he goes on to say that NFL draft countdown mock draft was a joke because they have Leonard and Posluszny coming here, and he doesn't want either of them, and we definitely agree with you. Give him the answer to that question because we're getting a bunch of emails giving us the answer, even though we already know what the answer is.
Okay. I'll give you a clue. Bill Belichick drafted him.
Eric Turner?
Mm-hmm.
Number two overall. Just so I don't get accused of being Ron Borges, that's courtesy of the NFL Network.
And then
and something I was watching.
Well, and then
about
Eric from Manchester said Benny Blades from the U went third in 1988, he believes. So those are the two highest safeties. Gary, no kidding.
Let's get a quick 20.
Jesus. Well, the food's sitting here, and Gary's like, take a timeout, take a timeout. Let's go to a break. He's really pissing me off today. Just for the...
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
This is PFW in progress.
And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
They get the metric system. They wouldn't know what the f*** a quarter pounder is.
And what do they call it?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
PFW in progress with Red Kirsch.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac.
What do they call a waffle? I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Jeb?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers! The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast. What kind of hamburger?
cheeseburgers.
No. Where'd you get it? McDonald's with
Andy Hart.
Big Kahuna Burger.
Big Kahuna Burger. That's that Hawaiian burger joint. I hear they got some tasty burgers. You mind if I try one of you?
Some guy named Tom.
Hell, I seen him eat 10 chocolate bars and 7 cold drinks in 15 minutes. Eat and eat busted bottles and rusty nails, any damn thing.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
You just said he could eat anything.
My boy says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
And you never know, Glory might stop by.
This is a tasty burger. I do love the taste of a good burger.
PFW in progress.
You want a hamburger? No cheese. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
543-1516. That's 508-543-1516. That's Papa Gino's, and you deliver to One Patriot Place. Have it delivered to the security desk. Attention, Garrett. And that's it. Foxborough, Massachusetts.
You got that?
Well, that's, they know, because it's the Foxborough Papa Gino's.
All right.
So 508-543-1516, One Patriot Place. Go to security. Attention, Gary.
And Lawrence is our favorite listener for this week.
We appreciate it, Lawrence.
Well done, Lawrence. Congratulations.
Good luck in the Super Bowl. You and all the Colts fans.
Go Colts.
Finally had a win.
And by the way, Lawrence, just so you know, I really do hope that you're only our favorite listener for a week, because I'm hoping somebody else steps up next Wednesday at noon and calls us.
I heard.
All right, we're back, and if you want to know our passwords for our computers or anything, I'm sure Fred Birch will gladly give it away over the internet. Matt from Dover is our fan of the week.
Tremendous.
Great job, Matt. We got the pizza, we got the wings, he got my sub. Everything was perfect. We
first
really appreciate
sub.
It. Huh?
First ever sub.
Thanks to Gary for asking me what I like on it. Gary got mad at me because we got in a fight before break. Gary, I'm sorry. You are slightly above average at the job that you do. Keep it up.
I don't know if you've learned, but Gary's a little bit of a
rhymes
with witch.
I mean,
he gets sensitive at times.
Well, I mean, I got the food 2 inches from me. It's my mouth is watering. He's over there going, time out, time out.
Like, talking about Benny Blades.
Well, I was just finishing up the email.
Well, he's not like Fred, who just stops mid-sentence. Food's here, break. But, yes, Matt, we need to spend a little more time praising you. You're the greatest.
Yes.
You're the most knowledgeable Patriots fan we've ever had a chance to share emails with. I wish nothing but good luck for you in the future.
Andy said it perfectly. I can't add anything
and
to
I
it. Thank you very much.
I am used to Fred, so when you didn't immediately go to a break, I thought something was wrong.
The wings are tremendous. Pizza's tremendous. Tom is in love with you because you actually sent a sub,
yep.
Which no one else has ever done.
That's a heck of a sub.
That's the only downfall here is that...
We don't get to make fun of Tom while he sits there by himself just staring at the food.
And watching Tom, you know, piss and moan about the fact that he didn't get his turkey sub is usually worth...
And debate with himself whether it's worth risking death to have a slice of pizza
he's
punch his little thing on his
He checks
his
pump and makes sure that... And then he's like...
That debate ended the last time I had a piece. I won't be having any anytime soon. Well, since we're 1 hour and 10 minutes in, I think I'll give the email address at webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. If you don't have a job and you want to give us a call, it's 508-543-7482. Tom, Andy, and Paul here today. Fred is in China.
Getting Chinese water torture or whatever they...
Or giving away our secrets so they can come here and invade us, apparently.
Well, if they're listening to Fred for advice... I'm feeling pretty good about the U.S.'s chances.
Okay, we did this one? Yeah. All right. We want to get back to the emails. You guys done eating? What's the story?
Oh, I'm still eating. But I can still respond in between bites.
Okay, well...
But again, Matt and Dover, emailer of the week, tremendous. There's an opportunity for you, too, to be praised like this next week if you send us free food.
And there's just someone else complaining about Jabbar Gaffney. All right, he's great, all right? Jabbar Gaffney, he'll probably start this year over the 10 receivers they signed.
But he's not as great as Matt and Dover.
No. So Jabbar Gaffney, great. Okay, we have Craig from Boxborough. You don't like him, do you, Andy?
No.
Either you or Fred doesn't. I think it's Fred.
I'm a big fan of Craig.
Yeah, me too, but I think
I think he took a shot at me once.
Either you or Fred doesn't like
me. Pretty much everybody has.
I remember something I said about it's appropriate that his mother lives in Boxborough
yeah,
or something.
That sounds about right. He says, hello, A-Team and Big Show Paul. Last night I happened to catch the ESPN segment that is counting down the teams and their specific needs, as well as Kuiper's prediction for their draft picks. He mentioned Nelson, Willis, Posluszny, and Weddle as possible picks. I know how you guys feel about Nelson, Willis, and Posluszny, but what about Weddle? Kuiper described him as a Patriot-type player since he's a smart football player and has good character, and Tom's editorial will be he forgot to say the word white. And according to the draft websites I looked at, he has good ball skills, good instincts, and is a good tackler. So I want to know, what do you guys think of him? And he said, P.S., I hope Fred doesn't take another beating like he did last week from Paul.
I think everything the emailer said is right. I think Weddle's a nice football player. I'm not sure he's a first-round type talent. In fact, I'm pretty sure he's not. But he can do a billion things.
Yeah.
He has literally done virtually every job, from running back to quarterback to holder, returner, safety, corner, everything. He's done it all. And in that way, I think, yeah, he's a Patriots-type player, because I think Bill would have fun with him. Maybe you would see him on the offensive side of the ball doing some things. But I have no interest in the first round, because I'm not sure he's that good of a safety. And if I'm drafting in the first round, the guy needs to have something he's really good at that I consider him a starter. And I don't think Weddle's an NFL starter at safety.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun watching him take quarterback draws, you know, at Utah when he played safety and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? That's college football. Here you have to, like you said, Andy, you have to be really good at one thing, and he's pretty good at a lot of different things,
right,
which makes him a nice second or third round pick, in my opinion.
And it makes him the 48th player on your roster, and he's valuable, and he'll
play
do
special
some things,
teams.
But you don't take him with the 24th or the 28th pick in the draft and pay him a big contract.
Right. I mean, just from the safeties we've watched, I would be shocked if they took him with one of those two picks over some of the guys we've seen. I mean, they take him over the guy Griffin from Texas. I think there's an investigation needs to be launched.
That's crazy, because I think he can flat out come in and contribute immediately as a playmaker on defense. Weddle will come in and be Wes Welker on defense and do some different things, but we've been wrong before. We think they misvalued Wes Welker, and they're happy with him.
But
so.
the key thing you said there that I think is important is, they're pretty well set for a Super Bowl run, but there's a couple of positions they need, and safety may be one of them, depending on the health of Harrison, where they might need someone to step in and contribute right away. And that's where you get a guy like Nelson or Griffin, someone who I think could come in and play for you as a rookie, as opposed to Weddle, who's probably more of a situational player, special teams guy. You might need a safety to come in and play. And so if you're going to take one who can play right now.
Well, I'd say the one wild card is what they think James Sanders can be.
Yeah.
I liked what I've seen from James Sanders. I've always kind of liked him. Going back to the draft and, you know, this whole history as the leading tackler at Fresno State and everything that he's about, but I don't know what Bill Belichick thinks his ceiling is. Does he think he's a starting, strong safety, in the box kind of guy, or does he think he's, you know, kind of a marginal backup? And you're just smirking at Paul as he engulfs another Buffalo wing.
I was wondering if he didn't care about the conversation, and I just looked over.
No, he cares more about the food.
I had half a pizza in his mouth.
Turn around and look who's batting, and you'll know what I'm doing.
Oh, you're watching the grill salesman.
Spring training, Manny Ramirez.
Oh,
single.
And he got a hit.
Single for Manny Ramirez.
Oh, he got all of that one.
Get another RBI for Manny Ramirez.
Sawyer from Waterloo. He says, hey, guys, I saw on the web that the Patriots were looking to get Kavika Mitchell from Kansas City. His numbers look pretty good, and he's younger, but the last KC linebackers were not so impressive. What are your thoughts on him? I think he's improved quite a bit since I wrote for that magazine, because that was like his make-or-break year when I was doing that stuff, and he's kind of come on a little bit, I think, because he was like on the verge of not making the team the next year. And I believe now he's a pretty decent middle linebacker, isn't it?
I don't really know a ton about him.
I know he's a big guy. He's like 252.
Yeah.
He can run a little bit. But they drafted him as kind of like a project-type guy. And when I was there, I think it was his third year. And that was the year they were saying, okay, this is it. He needs to step up. And I think he did step up for him. But I agree. When you have so much failure at one place, do you want to keep going back? That shies me away a little bit from him. I don't know. He's not, I mean, he's much bigger than Beisel. He's got the girth.
I don't know. I don't know about Mitchell, but it wouldn't necessarily scare me because he plays for Kansas City. It would be.
Doesn't scare them. They've been chasing Kansas City linebackers for the last 5 years. Every year they're going after some Kansas City linebacker.
No, that was the other guy. Was Maslowski?
Yeah. It was Maslowski twice, I believe.
Yeah, they signed him to an offer sheet.
Then Beisel. I believe one year there was like some rumored interest in Scott Fujita, even. Wasn't he there?
He was there. I don't remember them being interested.
I think there was some rumored interest there.
Warfield last year as a defensive back.
Warfield. Donnie Edwards by association.
So, yeah, I mean.
Well, they just lost after that terrible KC defense.
My guess would be that they would try to get Hartwell cheap, bring him in. If they can't, maybe they go after Mitchell. He'd be obviously more expensive option, but that would be my guess. He says, as for Bill's spending spree, maybe Mr. Kraft gave him the message to spend the money. He did promise that in an earlier story. I guess I am just hoping for something other than him preparing to leave. If it were up to me, I would give him a lifetime contract in which he gets paid double the highest paid coach from the previous year. Just put in some clauses in case something would happen, like he goes off the deep end. After all, who are we going to replace him with? Marty? Urban? Or how about Lane Kiffin if he fails at Oakland? He says, whatever.
If? I'm sure that was laced with sarcasm.
Yeah. He says, what has happened to the Brian Leonard talk? I watched.
Not so sarcastic on that one.
No. He said, I watched the LeRon Landry YouTube video, and I was worried he was going to knock a player through my computer screen. What an animal. I like him. Of course, Andy does. You have to do that on every play, or Andy thinks you're a bust. If you just tackle a guy, it's not good enough for Andy.
Well, I just think Mike Mayock is swaying the opinion here, too, because he's madly in love with LeRon Landry, almost like you are. And then I watch him doing his rundown of safeties, and don't tell me LeRon Landry's never had a bad play. Because I know he has.
No.
Every player on every football field has bad plays.
Except for
and
Calvin
then he goes,
Johnson.
Gets to Michael Griffin, and he shows like four of Griffin's bad plays. Don't tell me that guy's never made some great plays.
No, I agree with
he
you.
He is trying to sway the public to his opinions.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that. But I'm sure you can find plays that LeRon Landry blew in coverage.
I'm sure you can
find tackles that he missed. I mean, he's a safety. You're going to
have
that.
It's a tough position to play. Just ask Tom.
Yeah.
He's getting rid of it. He's phasing it out of all defenses.
I'm going to the four corners. He said, Andy mentioned Asante last week. Is there still money left for him? At one point, they were close. How are they doing now?
Yeah, there's always money left because if they sign to a long-term deal, in all likelihood, the cap number is going to go down.
I was going to say, his cap number would actually decrease if he signs.
Unless they did something funky with like a roster bonus or in all likelihood, his cap number would decrease. And when you sign offer a guy the franchise tag, place that on him, you have to have that 7.79 available in cap room.
And,
so they have it now, and then obviously they have it moving forward.
And he says, thanks.
And I get a fist pump from Paul for some reason.
Because you explained that, and I think that people were probably scratching their heads when we said that initially, but you explained it perfectly. I'm giving you the fist pump.
I feel really good.
Right.
You know much more.
I just gave you a fist pump.
Oh, I don't care about that. Well, I just feel very much more energetic when we have food.
I'm about to go on to some more. I mean,
isn't it time for a break?
This guy lining up in Queens.
He says, thanks, guys. You truly do a great job. He said, P.S., how do you expect people to buy you subs when we don't know what each of you want? I mean, it can't. It's not as easy as ordering pizza because of Supermodel Tom. No, I'm the only one who gets a sub. You order pizza, you order buffalo wings. Listen, I don't know how hard this is. One turkey sub, oil and vinegar, lettuce and pickles. That's it.
A pepperoni pizza and boneless buffalo wings.
I see a piece of cheese on there at your ass.
Gary, you should
how
start
do you
making
people to know. You talk about it every week.
You should start making opens. Like it'll be Tom, turkey sub, lettuce, pickle, Andy Hart. Pepperoni pizza, boneless buffalo wings.
Orange.
Paul Perillo, everything.
Orange fire water. Now,
that's later.
You see, how about that, Gary? How about what Andy just did there?
What'd I do?
He says, Andy Hart, boneless buffalo wings, Paul Perillo, everything. Like he's not eating everything over there. Look at him. Look at him.
I even have my shake. Tom, can I put this shake in the fridge and then drink it tomorrow, even though I already mixed it?
Yeah, you have to mix it again.
Okay.
But our buddy is back, Matt. He said, unfortunately, I have to miss the last half hour of the show working 2 to 12:30 this month. You guys have a great show, and I'll never miss another episode.
You're the greatest,
I dislike
Matt.
Most of New England's media coverage, but you guys rock. And I like the new gentler Paul. Let's hope he can keep it up when Fred comes back.
That'll be the big test.
You and Fred butt heads, and you always will. And all I have to throw out there is Wes Welker.
But for the most part, and you know this because you instigated a lot.
No.
It's very much tongue-in-cheek. It's very much, Fred does it intentionally. He'll say something intentionally.
Paul, what's wrong? What's wrong?
See? You know, and it's very much that Fred knows beforehand that something he says is intentionally going to incite me. Sometimes I take the bait. Most of the time.
Sometimes?
Most of the time I let it go. Sometimes I take the bait. But I will definitely try to be the kindler, gentler Paul with Fred because I know that everybody loves Fred.
Okay, Dave from Queens, he says, what would you rather see happen? Packaging up two first-round picks for Willis or trade a first-round pick for Briggs?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
I would take Briggs because he's already established.
I'd say one first-rounder for Briggs because he's more established, and I still have another first-rounder.
Right.
But, but
you got to pay him.
Well,
not my money.
Fist pump, Andy.
It's not my money. Just pay the man. I've learned that the salary cap is fraudulent. Tom Casale led me to it, and I asked some people.
But it's going
to
cost you.
Even people who work under the salary cap have told me it's fraudulent. If you want to pay people, you can pay them.
My only point was, I know that you can find the money on the salary cap, but my point is, if you're going to sign him, you're going to have to do it long term, and you're going to be stuck with him, you know, even if you don't want him for the. You know, whatever.
Yeah, but if you trade two first-round picks and Patrick Willis can't play in the National Football League, you're going to regret it, too.
I agree. I'm just offering both sides.
Yeah. I mean,
I agree with you guys. I would rather have Briggs. He's the established guy.
Because then I
guy.
Can take Briggs and draft Michael Griffin. And if Michael Griffin is a superstar, at least maybe people will kind of forget if Briggs doesn't fit in. If you trade two for one,
do you think
Patrick
there's anything,
Willis needs to be legit.
Do you think there's any possibility of the Briggs trade?
I don't. I've sort of poo-pooed it, but who knows? Stranger things have happened. I never say never.
That item, and I read the item in Peter King, his Monday Morning Quarterback, I think that was highly misleading to the public. I thought it made it sound like, the way he wrote it, it made it sound like Drew Rosenhaus was bringing that up. But really, Peter King brought it up. Did you see that?
I did not read
did
it.
Did you read it?
I've heard about it.
I think it's all crap. I don't think Lance Briggs is coming here. I really don't.
I don't really either, but
I just
and I don't think it has as much to do with that whole 3-4 comment that he
made.
No,
I think, you know what I think it is? I think, like you said, Paul, they were kind of lucky with Thomas because he did a cap-friendly. Lance Briggs wants money, and he wants a lot of it, and he wants a lot of it up front. So I just don't think what he wants.
It doesn't sound like he's taking what Thomas got.
Exactly. That's why I don't think he's coming here.
Plus, he wants to be the man, and would he be the man here? I mean, would people look at him and say,
yeah,
no, oh, that's Lance Briggs' defense. No,
right.
I don't. It's Bill Belichick's. It's Teddy Bruschi's. It's Adelius Thomas. It's Mike Vrabel. It's who knows who.
So what do you guys think about that rumor about the Jets moving up? Think any possibility of that?
What, to three?
Well, the remember when I was down on Vilma last year?
Yeah,
and we
no.
Saw him, and
well, they've been talking about him a lot.
And apparently he wasn't fitting in well, and they're talking about him and their pick up to the Lions.
And he can certainly run
for
play that Tampa 2 defense.
And you know what the thing might be, too, Tom, and I do remember because we talked about it since then, you being down on Vilma last year, maybe in the strict 3-4 in the system that it's not, you know, it's always 3-4-2 gap and not a hybrid of that the way he played
right.
previously.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's not as good a fit.
Right. So what do you think about that, Calvin Johnson?
I've expressed my...
But that's
I just don't think
saying,
they have a quarterback who can get
but,
him the
no,
football
but I'm saying, do you
well
think
enough?
That's who
but
they would go after to get? Would it be Calvin Johnson?
You don't think Calvin Johnson would make Pennington a lot better?
I think he would make him better.
Now you got
Coles,
Johnson, and Cotchery with Thomas Jones.
That's a pretty scary
pretty good
offense
right there.
Yeah.
Plus two rookie offensive linemen who were pretty good to go with a veteran on the other side.
All right, you sold me. The Jets are the front runner
oh,
in the division.
Stop it. Let's put the brakes on. I'm not saying that.
And Leon Washington, who's a pretty good explosive
right.
back.
Good little
catching
scat
back. That's a good
offense.
What
are they offense. Doing
on defense? On defense, you're going to have to find a way to replace Vilma. Because whether he's a disappointment or not, he was still a pretty good player, and you're going to have to find a
and
way
And you need more things on defense.
Right, that's what I mean.
You know, Anthony that's Schlegel.
But aren't there holes on defense? You're improving an offense more...
But
their
that's
holes
why
are on
I'm
defense.
Asking, is that who they're going up? Would that be the guy? Is
well,
there someone
had,
else? Is
they
it?
Had holes all around.
No, I know, but you just said it. I think their receivers are pretty good. I don't think that would be at the top of their needs.
Do you think he fell in love with maybe a Gaines Adams, and he says, I can turn this guy into a killing machine in
could
the
be.
3-4 or
could
something
be.
Like that?
Could be. But then,
what do you think of that? What do you think of Gaines Adams' possibility to be a 3-4 end?
I
think it's kind of a waste of his ability.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be pretty good.
I think he'll be a good player no matter where you put him, but I don't know
that's
if he's...
That would be interesting I mean, because he's never played the 3-4 and he's
right.
never covered in his life. So that would.
And let's face it, a 3-4 end is a tackle.
Right.
He's always been an outside guy
mm-hmm.
using that athleticism. He's good.
No, I know he's good.
Now, he can play now.
Richard Seymour can play too.
I know, but I think that he did play tackle.
No, I know.
So to ask him to play 3-4 end wasn't as much of a stretch.
I think he's a pretty good player and would benefit your defense greatly wherever you put him. You know what I mean? He's pretty good.
I do know what you mean.
Well, let's talk about another guy that we were talking about upstairs in a similar situation, Lamar Woodley. Now, there's a lot of people out there telling you Lamar Woodley can play 3-4 outside linebacker. But you should also know that a lot of people don't know that much about college football. I mean, that's just a fact. Most of the radio guys and stuff, they don't sit there and watch a lot of college football. Now, it is our opinion that Lamar Woodley is a great player. We all think that. We think he's a great, great player. The question is, would he fit here in the 3-4 scheme? Now, they tried using him an outside linebacker at Michigan. It didn't work. I talked to a Big Ten offensive line coach who said he played against them at outside linebacker and D end, and he said he's a total monster at end. He doesn't think he'd fit well as an outside linebacker. What do you think he can play that outside? Because he's at 24, if he's sitting there, you got to look at him because he's just so good. But do you take him for this system?
I don't know.
He's the toughest guy, I think, to project here.
I think he's going to be fine somewhere because I think he can play. I think he can make plays. I think he's explosive. You know, he's not fast. But when you see him shot off the ball towards a quarterback, he's flying. He's a missile. And I think he can make plays. It might take a little bit of work or creativity or I don't think a coach can necessarily draft him and say, this is your role. You have to fit. I think the coach has to say, well, here's the player that I think can be very good. I need to fit my role a little bit to him. And that's sometimes, yeah. I guess that's tough. Some coaches are stubborn or whatever, but I think if you want a football player, take him, and you'll find a way to be happy with what you get.
I agree.
I think pretty much everything Andy said about Gaines Adams would apply to a large extent to Woodley.
Yeah.
I think that he's good enough that he's going to be a productive player regardless of how you try to use him. He's going to find a way to be a good impact football player.
And some of these we're going to be wrong, and they're going to stink.
Yeah, so
I don't think Gaines Adams and Lamar Woodley
are going to be
either,
two of
those guys.
I didn't think Mike Williams would stink.
Yeah, you never know. John says, what is it with Tom and Andy? You guys beg people to buy you lunch each week, and then you get down on another guy because he doesn't tip as much as you think he should have. Well,
it's all about principle.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Ben Watson. He can't afford a five? I mean,
right.
Seriously, I mean, oh, geez, we said something bad about a Patriot. Ooh.
Who's this emailer?
Some douchebag named John. By the way, John, we keep getting free food, so go screw yourself. How do you like that?
Is this what we're supposed to do?
Yes, this is what we do to calm down. No, but you can say douchebag. It's okay. They say it on 2.5 Men all the time.
They do?
Yeah. That's where I got it from.
I'm not sure they're the ones you want to use.
Look at that douchebag.
So anything they say on South Park and do on South
no,
Park,
no,
I can
no,
say
no, no, not South Park. I'm using 2.5 Men as my gauge there, not South Park. Especially after that last one. By the way, if you are a South Park fan, you'll never see this again on television, so you have to download it on iTunes. The last one where Butters goes to a religious camp, see that before you die, please, because it's the funniest, most offensive thing you'll ever see in your life.
It's one of the best ever, and just so you know, it really has not all that much to do with Butters going to religious camp.
It has nothing to do with that.
Kind of misleading there, and it's tremendous.
Okay, we have Matt. And he's
is this
Ames,
our Matt?
From no, Ames, Iowa.
This is some lame Matt.
He says, after listening to last week's show, I have some questions about some stuff. What happened to Garrett Mills, and do you ever see him making an impact in the offense?
Not really.
Well, Mills got hurt, so we don't really know what kind of
impact
he's
got a little
have.
Banged up.
He didn't play at all last year. We didn't even get to see him in the preseason. We didn't get to see him in training camp. He was never really healthy, played very little.
I've never seen him really do anything.
Didn't he get a couple of catches in one of the games?
Yes. Yeah, and then a lot of people fell in love with him. It was the Atlanta game.
Was it Atlanta?
Yeah, where he caught a couple of passes
in
the fourth.
We didn't even really get a chance to see him during training camp practices, which is kind of when we get our most evaluations of those guys, those younger guys, because in the preseason when they get in the games, they're playing with other guys like them, so we don't really care as much. But, you know, you never know when Garrett Mills is going to be lined up against Rodney Harrison in training camp. You know,
yeah, I don't. He could. I think there is a role if he's good enough that he could win. You know, in that third, fourth tight end, running back, Heath Evans, backup, H back, whatever you want to call him. But I think he's hurt immediately by the fact that he missed a year. You know, those opportunities those kinds of guys don't last very long. You need to grab those and open up some eyes on the coaching staff, or very soon you're out.
And unfortunately, getting injured is a strike. It's not necessarily something the guy can control,
right?
But it's considered a strike.
Right.
So you don't have that many of them to use up, like Andy said.
Fourth-round pick who's not a true fit anywhere.
Doesn't fit anywhere.
Your opportunities are limited. They come quick. You know, you're Mike Wright. All of a sudden, you grabbed a couple opportunities. I think Mike Wright's a guy who, if he missed a game here, missed a game there, he's out of the NFL.
If Mike Wright had gotten injured his first year, there's very good chance that he would not be in the NFL today.
But now he's a backup on a pretty good football team, making plays on special teams and, you know, versatility and all that. I think those guys, it's swim or sink pretty quickly in the NFL.
Okay, then he says, you guys are always talking or joking at guys who would be good special teams players. And I was just wondering if Tom Zbikowski, he's the safety from Notre Dame, would be one of those players because he sure can't cover. He's fast and can hit, but that's pretty much it. It's funny about Zbikowski because he's a guy I actually like. I mean, he's one of those players that I like to watch, but he's going to be someone that gets drafted a round and a half too early because he boxes.
Probably.
I mean, he's a good punt returner.
And he's fast.
He's one of those guys I'd love to have on my team, but where are we? I mean, he's not coming out till next year, so we won't know. But where do you take him? You know, that's the question.
I think he's the way he described him is perfect to me. I think he's a guy that the floor for him is he comes in and he can contribute for you on special teams, make some plays for you, be a backup safety. And who knows? Maybe he would develop into a playmaker on defense, but I certainly don't think he's a guy you draft and say, here's a starting safety for me.
Right. He says,
he'll probably wow at the combine.
He'll be one of those guys.
He'll be a combine guy that people fall in love with. Where maybe the scouts say, "Well, if you watch the tape, he's really not that."
But
good.
He is fast because
you
see those guys that break out in the open field and they score, and Zbikowski is running up on him at the end there. I mean, he does have good speed. It'll be interesting to see how he plays his senior year, and
it'll depend on what Mike Mayock thinks of him. If he loves him, he'll show all his highlights on the NFL Network. If he doesn't like him so much,
that's a problem with Mayock. I mean, whenever someone tries to build themselves up, Andy's got to knock them down. You notice he hasn't said anything about Kuiper lately, because Kuiper's he's on his way down now. Mayock's the new, he's the new chicken in the hen house or whatever they call that stuff. He says, "I have a few things to say on the whole Rashay Caldwell possibly getting cut topic." I know
that's a hot topic. Can we put this in our banks for either a point counterpoint or a poll or something? Because the fans are worked up over this Jabbar Gaffney, Rashay Caldwell receivers. Put that editor right over there, Paul Perillo. Put that.
Well, I kind of
joining my Buffalo.
I kind of just threw that out as my like a sleeper veteran. I mean, I don't really even think he's going to get cut. I was just saying, if you said to me, "Give me a shocking cut," I would just throw him out there. Yeah. He says, "I know it's just a possibility, but you guys said that he somewhat folds under pressure, but without his catch in the Chargers game, the Pats probably wouldn't have won that game. Granted, he did drop a number of balls against the Colts, which led my friends calling him Rashay Caldwell. If he does get caught, I will truly miss Rashay wide-eyed Caldwell era." He says, "Thanks for all the updates and comedic banter every week. I always look forward to listening to you each and every week, especially Fred. His lack of support and his arguments is always entertaining."
That was uncalled for.
I like Rashay Caldwell. It's not bad.
That's what Berman calls him every week.
Oh, I don't watch Berman.
Does he call him that? Yeah, I don't watch him either.
Rashay Caldwell.
Lord, you know, bony.
But is he making fun of him when he says it?
No.
Well, this guy is. They were calling him Rashay Caldwell after the balls were ricocheting off him.
Okay, we have...
What exactly is the point counterpoint, by the way?
I don't know, but something. It's a hot topic. Maybe it's the poll. Which of the Patriots, blah, 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 receivers will be the odd man out or something?
All right.
You can meld that into something.
You could definitely do it in
go
the
noodle,
poll.
Go noodle with that. TG and NJ, thanks for all your efforts, men. I'd be lost in the off-season with the free agents and draft prospects without your analysis. Just wondering what your take is on the running back situation throughout the league. Seems there's been a lot of switching around, but not sure which teams have the edge. Yeah, I know Arizona does. Are the moves that have
I think our emailers have been pretty funny today
are
with
the
their
moves
puns.
That, you're just happy because you got food. Are the moves that have been
that's
made
a good,
an improvement?
A very good point.
The only obvious upgrade that comes to mind is the Jets. What say you? Keep up the good work. I think Denver, too, with Travis Henry, is going to be if he stays healthy, he's going to have a huge season.
Forgot about that.
What?
That Travis Henry's now with the Broncos.
Oh.
That's good for them. That's a good pick. Who are the other ones?
Denver's had a good offseason.
The Jets.
I know he was making a joke, but I think I've heard a lot of good stuff about Arizona. what they've, you know, they've made some guys, they've made some signings that aren't necessarily big names, but they're guys that will improve the team.
Well, I think
now, I just read that. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think he was talking about like the running backs that have switched teams. Like,
or just the running backs?
What impact are they going to make, like Jamal Lewis and those type
that'll
of guys?
Teach me, that'll teach me to listen to the last part of the email and not the first part. My bad.
Jamal Lewis, Willis McGahee, those guys to me are kind of irrelevant. They haven't been playing well to me. I'm not sure Willis McGahee's all that good. He's a guy I loved out of Miami. I don't think he was ever the same. Jamal Lewis can't get out of his own way now. It takes him 1,000 steps to get
McGahee
to the line.
McGahee will certainly help Baltimore a hell of a lot more than Lewis is going to help anybody.
But don't you think the...
I'm not sure he's that much better.
But let's take a look at Cleveland for a second before we just dismiss them. They were a team that was in a lot of games last year, played a lot of close games. Now, say they like their quarterback, but they think they need that strong running game around. And now, say they get Jamal Lewis, they draft Peterson, and they're just going to pound you. They got Edwards, you know, they got some weapons on offense. Don't you think that's a team, if their quarterback can play, maybe they're on the upswing a little bit?
I think sure. As long as the last part of your equation is right, if the quarterback
right,
can play.
That's a big if.
I've seen nothing.
Plus if they get Adrian Peterson.
I've seen nothing
so far. Because if the ground game
is
Jamal Lewis, then I'm not all that interested.
Right.
If it's Adrian Peterson and Jamal Lewis with Jamal Lewis as Corey Dillon, yeah, I'm interested.
Well, I don't see any reason why getting Jamal Lewis, if you were going to take Adrian Peterson, why that affects it in any way whatsoever.
Oh, God, no.
So if you're the Browns and you wanted Adrian Peterson, you should still be drafting
him. I think it's perfect because it's Maroney for a year with Dillon and then Maroney.
I agree.
It's Peterson for a year with Lewis. And who knows? You take a chance because maybe Jamal Lewis all of a sudden comes out and rushes for 2,000 yards, and it's Cedric Benson. You sort of forget about him for a year, and then you develop him the next year. But I would still take Adrian Peterson if you had any desire to take him. Now, if you just don't like him for some reason, okay, but it's not affected by the Lewis thing.
And I'll say, Tom, I haven't really seen anything out of Charlie Fry to say that, but I would say at this time last year, I would have made the same exact comment in San Francisco with Alex Smith.
Right.
Okay? Now, I'm not saying Alex Smith turned into be, the second coming of Carson Palmer last year, but he took a discernible step.
He threw a touchdown pass.
And he'll be in the NFC Championship game this year.
He was pretty good for a second-year quarterback last year, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he made a discernible step forward.
Yes.
And if Charlie Fry can do that, and I know he's been around 2 years, this will be his third, but if Charlie Fry can do that, you know, I'm not saying...
But that Seattle game was kind of his coming, like, kind of getting over the hump for Alex Smith that Thursday night Seattle game.
And that also might be clouding me in thinking that Alex Smith had a better year than he really did.
Well, he had a pretty good year.
I watched him that night, one of the few times that you get a chance to see San Francisco, and he impressed me. He made some good throws in that game.
But it will be interesting if the Browns get Peterson to see what happens with them, because they, if you look at their what happened last year, they played, what, like six or seven games within a touchdown, and that'll
they
be
They were a weird team last year. They were either competitive against a good team, or
they lose to like
laid an egg to Tampa Bay,
right?
You know,
so, yeah, they're tough. They're a tough team to
just to respond to that email. Sort of the Jones one to me is like Adalys Thomas coming here. They had a specific need and they filled the need very impressively. You know, they didn't have to give up a ton to get him. They got a guy that is like boom, fits right in.
Right,
I think that's a very impressive.
That's a big signing. That really was a good signing.
Thomas Jones to the Jets.
That was
phenomenal.
Kazan says, "Hey guys, one quick question before I rage. Honestly, how good do you figure Kelly Washington will be in Bill Belichick's system? I know that he hasn't done much lately, but he has been behind the hardcore of T.J. Hushmanzada and 85, and compared to them, of course, he's looked bad. Now on to the rage." Why does everyone except New England fans and Tom hate the Patriots? I heard rumors that it was because New England had people watching the hand signals of all their coaches, but doesn't everyone do that? I also heard that it was the way they behaved after beating the Chargers, but didn't BB come down on them because of that? If you guys could give me more clue as to why I'm called, for lack of a better word, a douchebag every time I mention I'm a Patriots fan. Tom is God, and it's amazing that Andy made it out of the third grade. Thanks, Kaza. I think people hate the Patriots because they're good.
Yeah, I don't think it's needs to be really delved into any deeper than that. When I was growing up, I hated San Francisco. What did San Francisco ever do wrong?
I hated them too.
Cheat on
all
the salary cap.
All they ever did was win.
They did cheat.
I'm talking about.
That's how they beat the Cowboys.
I'm talking about in the.
That's a fact.
I'm talking about in the '80s when there wasn't even a salary cap in place.
No, I hated them.
But you hated them for a different reason.
No,
they were your chief rival.
I hated them. No, they weren't. Dallas was bad in the '80s. There, the I hated them because they were good. They won all the time.
Well, that's
you hate
why
the
I
teams
hate
that win all the
time. I hated Pittsburgh in the 70s. I hated San Francisco in the 80s. And I hated Dallas in the 90s. Sorry, Tom.
And you hated the Patriots.
I hate
the
Cowboys now.
No. Well, I just think that
well,
that's
that was
why.
Where your trend was going there. I was just following it.
Well, that would be. No, never mind. It's a kind of
but there's also
call.
More than just the winning, whether it's fair
for me,
or not.
For me, it's the winning.
There's a
I
perceived organizational arrogance. I've heard about it. I've heard people on the radio talk about it. You hear guys on ESPN radio go on rants about it. There is a perceived arrogance with the Patriots. Whether they've earned it or not, I don't know. And is part of that come from winning? No question, because you obviously can't be overly arrogant if you're losing. But there's an air of that out there, I think. And I don't know how you get rid of that or if it's fair. Like I said, whatever. But there's some of that out there.
All right. Well, our buddy Matt is some guy, right? Is
yeah.
that Matt? Okay.
Our He's buddy. The greatest Matt in the world.
Okay, so Matt is he wants to talk about Kyle Brady. I don't think Kyle Brady is going to be getting as much playing time as most people think. If the Pats two tight end offense, having three solid tight ends is a must. However, to me, it looked like David Thomas's blocking abilities really came on by the end of the season, and we all know he can catch passes. I think he's going to be the number two guy behind Watson. Does anyone agree with me?
I think he's going to be the number two guy. Now, that doesn't mean we won't see Kyle Brady.
Right. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. Right. I agree with your depth chart, but I do think, like Andy does, that we'll see plenty of Kyle Brady. I think we'll see more of Kyle Brady as the third guy than we saw of David Thomas this year as the third guy because
yes.
the third guy is a blocker.
Right.
Whereas David Thomas wasn't a blocker.
And you'll see third tight end sets where he's out there. You'll see some right. probably two tight end sets where he's out there.
Yes. I think in... Normal situations, I think you're going to see David Thomas make a big step forward. I agree with Matt.
Of course we agree
He's
with Matt. He's
the
greatest emailer we've ever had, especially this week.
So, okay, Steven, he says he loves the show.
How much do you love
yeah.
it? Love it enough to send food next Wednesday at noon?
He said, I'd love to hear what you guys think about some inside linebacker candidates. Junior Seau, what's the quick...
I think he's fine. Bring him in for depth as a backup if you need him. But don't look for him to be a starter for the season.
We should probably try to get in touch with Junior because we've gotten a lot of emails about that, too.
Edgerrin Hartwell, we've kind of talked about. Mitchell, we've talked about. And then he says, in the draft, I assume Willis is way out of range without a trade-up. The top options that appear to be David Harris and John Beeson. I thought Harris was the fastest inside linebacker in the draft by far.
He's mean. He likes
yep.
to hit. My fear with him is he was on one of the best defenses in the country,
and
I don't know
fear.
Exactly who was making. I think Woodley's good. I think Branch is good. Well, did Harris just sort of clean up the mess,
right.
or can he make plays on his own?
And I can't be more adamant about this. There's rumors that Branch is slipping in the draft. That's a freaking joke. Because you watch any tape of any Michigan defensive player, and that middle is getting collapsed every time that ball is snapped by Branch. I don't understand how he could possibly be dropping. And you want to take that defensive end from Arkansas in the top 10? The draft is crazy, in my opinion.
Who plays right behind Allen Branch? David Harris.
So that's the one worry
that's
we have.
That's the fear.
But he is fast enough to get sideline to sideline.
Yeah, no, I like him. And I don't know if he's a first-round pick. That's my question
yeah.
with him. I think Patrick Willis... is a first-round pick. Everything, because he has the football,
right.
he has the measurables, size, everything about him says first-round pick. David Harris says he's good and he's sort of next in line, but where's
right.
the value?
Right. And well, let's talk about John Beeson for a second, because we came back from the combine, and I had the Patriots drafted him in the first round. And we got laughed at. We got the emails. He's not even going to get picked on day one. Now it seems every mock draft in the world has him going to the Bengals at 18. So, see, Andy and I, we actually do stuff at the Combine other than eat.
Unlike B-Lo.
We just kind of, that's the stuff we talk about on the air.
It's not a kindly gentler Andy, however.
But we had Beeson going that high because we were told that by a lot of people. So, obviously, there was a feeling at the Combine that this guy was a first-round type talent. So, at this point, it appears Beeson is a top 20 to 25 pick. If the Patriots feel he's right for their system, possibly, but then you go back to what we were just talking about, Vilma. You know, he doesn't seem like he's fitting in well with the Jets. If this
right.
is a Vilma type, does he fit in here? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if he fits. I mean, he's obviously more of an outside linebacker in college. They've envisioned him, you know, playing inside, playing the mic here. You haven't seen as much. But you've never really seen what they're going to have to do here in college. So, you know, that's why Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli go down there and they personally work these guys out and talk to them and
watch tape and, you know, get their football smarts and go over all that kind of stuff. And that's why they put so much time and effort into this. And we try to put as much as we can, but it's about 1%, if that, of what they can do.
Phil from Austin, he says, guys, I've heard heard some talk about Michael Griffin as a possible pick at 28 for the Patriots. I watched UT a lot last year, and even though Aaron Ross won the Thorpe Award, Griffin is a possible first-round pick, and the other corner is a top 100 prospect. Their pass defense was 99th in the country. Maybe it was poor coaching, but I wasn't impressed with any of those guys. Can you give me your opinion on him? I liked both of them. I liked Ross, and I liked Griffin. I thought Ross was that pure cover corner type guy. I'll tell you what their problem was. I don't think they had any pass rush. They didn't have anybody up front. They lost all those guys. They had that Robinson that was a combine star. He was terrible on tape, absolutely hideous.
I'm not as high on Ross, I don't think, as you.
I'm not either.
I don't think he's terrible, but where do you, like, when you say you liked him a little bit, where did you see him going?
I would put him as my third corner.
Behind Houston and Hall?
No, because I got Revis. I really like Revis too.
So now you got him in the second round.
Yeah.
Definitively.
Yeah.
If he's like middle second round, late second round, then I'm on board. But I don't love
Ross.
The
problem
and again,
is
he's one of
gambler.
The few guys that you get a chance to see a little
bit.
So I haven't watched the tape that you guys watched.
Well, he's your gambler.
Very late in the alphabet.
He's your gambler.
I'm saying you never watch that.
Probably not going to get to that one.
I mean, he's going to give up plays. He's going to make plays. So you're looking at, you know, your Ellis Hobbs type of player where you got to kind of – he admitted at the combine, he said – they asked him what his strength was, and he said, you know, I like to go after the ball and make big plays. And they asked him what his weakness was, and he said, same thing. I probably gamble too much, and I should – you know. So if a coach can get him and kind of rear him back just a little bit, I think he can be a good player. But those – see, the guy – and we go back to Michigan. The guy I don't love is Leon Hall because – if you take his body of work, it's pretty good. But then when you take the two games that Branch and Woodley didn't dominate in, the Ohio State and USC game, he got killed.
Right.
So how good is he? You know, because if you can't cover Dwayne Jarrett and Ted Ginn, don't bother coming into the NFL.
Well, that was my big thing about a month ago when we talked about this.
But regardless of receivers, when those guys are dominating up front, how long do you have to cover for?
Yeah.
One Mississippi. Oh, he's down. Good.
Because some of those,
I was with my guy on that one.
Some of the video we saw, I mean, Woodley and Branch are in there in about a half a second.
Ridiculous!
The whole offensive line just crumbles.
So that's why they get paid the big bucks to figure out who's the legit guys and who isn't.
Right.
So okay, Dan in Fairfax has something on tipping. He says, "I think under most circumstances, I would tip $5 on a $23 bill. If the service was great or I asked for anything out of the ordinary, I might go to 30.
If you returned the wings after eating 3/4 of them,
if service was really bad, I might just leave 25. I think that 20% is a good tip, regardless of how much the bill is. Last I saw, LeVar Arrington was still available. Do you guys think there's any chance the Pats would try to sign him as opposed to Hartwell?"
No, I don't think it'd be a good fit.
Who?
LeVar Arrington.
Arrington's all done.
Paul says Arrington's all done.
Arrington's all done.
So he's done?
Just don't think he'd be as good a fit for the needs they have right now. I think Hartwell would be perfect to rotate inside, be an inside run stuff for all that.
I think of Arrington in the situation, like when Andy, when you were talking earlier about Woodley and then later about Adams. If he was coming out, if a guy like LeVar Arrington was coming out and
top prospect.
I understand that. My point being, even though I don't think he fits the Patriots system that well, I think that Bill Belichick would love to get his hands on a guy that had that kind of ability and find a way to, you know, whatever. Find a way to use him in a way that you can make him most productive. At this stage of his career, with the injuries that he has and the fact that he doesn't really fit the system, I don't think makes any sense for New England. Now, again,
plus, he's got that reputation as freelancer. He doesn't want to do what people tell him to do. He just tries
not
to.
Right, which is okay. That's what I'm saying. Which is okay when you're the young buck coming out of college and you're going to be the number two pick in the draft, and you can rely on that athleticism and be Lawrence Taylor.
Speaking of rumors, trade rumors earlier. I'd like to bring up one that I heard. That maybe
the Redskins
are in love with Calvin Johnson, and they're looking to trade up. And because they don't have mid-round picks, seconds, thirds, and don't have the ammo to get up, you know, maybe they'd be looking for a team like the Patriots to acquire picks to then trade. What do you think about
that? The Patriots don't have a second-round pick either.
No, but they do have the 28th pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. They acquire that and then package that to move up.
Maybe. The Redskins are stupid.
And Daniel Snyder, once it seems like when he gets rolling on something and he falls in love, well, he's going to get
it. Rolling, baby.
And that's good or bad. I mean, I'm sure that's why he's rich and successful, but it might also be why he spends all this money on coaches and players and it doesn't work out all the time.
That'll be interesting. I think there could be some movement this year in the draft. With
a lot of trades. Yeah, I'm going to say in the first 40 picks, there's six trades.
Six trades. All right.
Why are you laughing at me?
I'm going to say six trades.
well, we got.
Sorry, I get an opinion. I can't express it.
well,
you might be Brian Morey. Well, there might be trades, and I think they could trade. They're
saying,
allowed
they,
to trade,
they,
you know.
They could
trade.
But what they might turn around then and do it is not trade.
Jeez,
so they
he's
could
never
trade
happy
it,
over there.
And then they could not trade.
Now I see why Fred always fights with him.
Well,
I just laughed because you said, I'm going to say in the first 40 picks, six trades.
And I'm keeping track of it on draft weekend.
It's like you pulled a number.
You won't be here.
If I'm here.
I'm going to be here with Fred going out. Now who's that?
Oh, just.
It's Gaines Adams, Fred. Now we play Wake Forest, Clemson, Fred.
just so you know, Tom, there's a good chance that I will be here with you. My wife is definitely under the impression that it's going to be sooner rather than later.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, thank God. Tell your wife
she's
I said thank you.
She's been having some contractions and stuff and starting to feel some things, and she just doesn't think she's another month away.
Well, one
she
of
thinks
you,
it's going to be sooner rather than later.
One of you can take the day off, but if you both leave, I'm in big, big trouble.
That, you know what?
But Paul will only add something when it's Alabama, Auburn, and Arkansas. and the three other schools that were on college football every weekend.
Where are we?
Or Baylor.
We? Boise State? God damn, I only got to Baylor. D'Annunzio from
Caddyshack. I'm going to get halfway through. My goal is to get halfway through those tapes. So what is it? 13?
Shoot high.
13 discs?
Get through six of them?
I'll get through six. Well, it's basically this week because next week. Oh, no, I can get to.
After the issue, you could do
yeah. Oh, yeah, I should be able to get them all.
It
I
is
was thinking
March.
I had to do it. I was thinking I had to do them all this week because next week is the issue, and then
it's like 40 days till the draft or something.
Right, we still have all of next week too. I mean,
well,
next month.
D'Annunzio from Caddyshack chimes in and says, "Hello, F team. That stands for fat, including Paul." Listen, D'Annunzio, Andy and I could bench press your car.
Yes.
How do you feel the Patriots are?
I don't know about Tom.
On the defensive line. Oh, jeez. Back in my day, I'd put you to shame.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm still in my day.
Well,
washed up old. Bum.
What's
not,
the matter? He can't bench anymore?
No, I'm not taking Sudafed with Ben Watson and
I don't
Sammy Morris.
Do you pee in your mouth if you want. It's as clean as the day I was born.
I seen
That's
you lost.
That's gross.
I seen you lose that 20 pounds. That just doesn't happen
Why
overnight.
Are you carrying around that box of Tide?
That's just to get some false negatives on the testing.
Do you think they'll take another D lineman in the draft? If so, where in the draft do you think is a possibility and what players at the position fit the Patriots' needs? We all know Marquise Hill is a soft, flabby statue of a player, and we need to get rid of that bum to add more depth to this team. And that's D'Annunzio.
I would think it would be a late. We've sort of targeted maybe a backup nose tackle type. There's a guy I fell in love with, and if I had my sheets with you, I'd tell you who he is.
who is it?
I don't remember.
Is it Tank Tyler?
Now, I kind of liked. Oh, I did like
we
him.
We like the guy from
He's
Cal.
He's versatile.
We like the guy from Cal, the defensive
Cal. I almost saw that one.
remind me to bring my sheets next week because there's a couple. I've been looking at that as guys, defensive linemen, who could be two-gap, nose tackle, backup, sixth, seventh-round picks.
The guy We liked the guy from Cal, but we didn't know if he was a we thought he was more Tampa 2.
Oh,
was
yeah,
really
yeah,
impressive.
Yeah. He's a Tampa 2 guy.
Yeah, but he was good.
But Tyler, I liked, has some versatility, and I think he could do some two-gapping. There was a lot of tape of him taking on double teams, sort of holding his ground, doing a nice job. So I do think they will probably take one because, you know, when they end up with their, 10 picks?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good amount of picks. If you're looking for a nose tackle to develop, there's a chance you take a flyer on a guy.
Well, someone sent in Pat Kerwin's latest mock draft. Now, Pat Kerwin didn't know anything about football. Well, first of all, he's got the Patriots trading down with New Orleans, so they go 27. He's got New Orleans going up to get Greg Olsen, tight end. Got the Patriots taking Anthony Spencer, then at 28, Marcus McCauley. See, this is what I do. If you see Marcus McCauley in a first-round mock draft, I just hit delete because that's a waste of time.
And I don't really like Anthony Spencer.
I think he's okay.
I'm not sure he has the athleticism.
I don't think he's a good fit here either.
Best part of him is his, what is it, a frohawk?
Yeah, the frohawk. Like I said.
See these little tidbits we got, Paul? They're just, brains are filled.
I remember reading that.
Mock drafts are fun to look at. Pat Kerwin has no idea. What he's doing is he's saying, oh, they need a cornerback and they need a defensive end. Well, we'll take this defensive end slash outside linebacker guy. Oh, this guy's from Fresno State. We'll put him here. That's what he did.
Paul, guy to keep an eye on. What's his name, Tom? is it Adebamiri? Who's the defensive end from Notre Dame?
Oh, I can't.
Defensive end Notre Dame. If he slips a little in the draft, because some places have him projected as like a third round pick.
Yeah.
If he slips a little, he's a potential, here outside linebacker convert. Big frame. He played at like 6'5", 270. So they probably ask him to drop maybe 10 pounds, get to it. But long arms, reasonably athletic, good power. I think he could set the edge. No experience, I don't think, in doing it. So this is a true projection. But I like his frame and his build for that type of a move. And, you know, when in doubt, go with a connection guy, and he played for Charlie Weiss.
Right.
Okay, so we got three more emails. Let's get through them before the show ends. He said, this is Joe. He says, hey, guys, with a lot of holes fixed already this offseason, is it reasonable to expect Bill and Scott to stock away picks for next year? Or is it assumed that they will take the best players available? P.S. Tom, congrats. Can I give you some wedding advice? Get everything taken care of as far in advance as possible. Your goal should be to have everything nailed, every and all decisions made and details taken care of by the big day. Seems obvious, right? You'd be surprised at how big a bummer it could be to deal with a vendor issue when all you want to be doing is having the best day possible. Good luck, man. I'm going to be
boring.
I'm going to be drunk at my wedding. I don't care what happens. If the vendor doesn't get paid, what's he going to do? He's already provided me the service.
Falcons have traded Matt Schaub to the Texans for a second-round pick.
That's a huge trade.
According to the scroll on ESPN.com.
Really? That's a huge trade, and you really have to wonder what Atlanta's thinking about there. They put the highest tender on him, first and third, right?
There might have been something else. I didn't read it all. So.
Okay.
But it like the highlight, the first part they noted was second
round. I think that Matt Schaub is either worth more than a second-round pick or No, there is no or. He's worth more than a second-round pick.
Gary, can you search that real quick on ESPN.com, the Matt Schaub
trade? And the other part of that is I cannot believe that Bobby Petrino would come in there and staple himself to Michael Vick. They're in disarray.
Wow. Paul down on the Falcons.
Yes. I'm very down on that because the one hope that I had, you know, and when I say hope, it's not that I care about what Atlanta does because I don't. I don't like the Falcons.
You don't love or hate them.
No.
If they get good. 2010 to 2020, you'll hate them. This is the Patriots' decade of hate.
Anyway, will you stop that? Anyway, if you bring in a college guy, okay, which right off the go, more often than not, those guys fail. Then you say you don't even give him the right to pick his quarterback because...
Well, maybe he did pick.
Well, he's a coach killer, so he'll be gone in 2 years.
No, I'm just saying maybe he did pick. Maybe he said... I'm going with Vic.
I know, but he hasn't even had one day.
Reportedly, NFL.com is reporting. So is that Schefter? No, because it doesn't say network. Second round draft pick, along with other possible compensation.
Oh.
Now, does that mean David Carr?
Going back, you mean?
To Atlanta.
It doesn't really say that.
Because now what do you do with Carr? You're paying him a pretty penny.
The Texans, this is a terrible story. With the trade, the Falcons would reaffirm that Michael Vick is the team's starter. Okay, obviously.
Thanks.
The Texans, meanwhile, would secure a quarterback of the future behind starter David Carr. What's David Carr? Suddenly 75 and he's the entrenched starter and you're just looking for 4 years from now?
As a matter of fact.
I think he's out of a job.
If I'm not mistaken, is there 1 year difference? Isn't this will this be Carr's fifth year?
Yeah.
And it's going to be Schaub's
fourth. Right. So there's 1 year difference. So that's
1 year difference of experience. Anyway,
that's worth.
I don't know how old they are. Maybe
now the Texans, by the way, also screwed things up by giving him that money last year and sort of latching on to David Carr, $10 million or whatever it was.
Jeez, you know what would look nice? Matt Schaub and Reggie Bush. That would look nice. Then they could use that eighth pick and just draft a defensive end if they wanted one. But I guess that's how it goes, and that's it for today, boys. We're all done. One of the worst PFW in progresses of all time finally comes to an end. Fred will be back next week if he's not in a Chinese torture chamber somewhere.
And Matt in Dover is the best emailer of the week and our favorite emailer ever for now.